This is PFW in Progress.
The precious, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
What do you mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
Oh, welcome. PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Andy Hart. So, half of the A team, half of the B team here. You figure out which one.
Actually, you're part of the Z team.
The Z team.
Our listeners
Brian
have
Lowe.
Decided. Yes.
Brian Lowe. Okay. Anyway, glad to be here. Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. It's media day. Tom Brady just concluded his press conference. Bill Belichick had his earlier at 10:30. And I guess Saban will be calling in. Who else? Who's the star this week for the Dolphins that will be calling in?
Dante Culpepper, according to Gary.
Dante Culpepper will be calling in. So we'll have those audio press conferences up on Patriots.com. Soon as they happen, and of course you can listen to Bill Belichick's press conference and Tom Brady's press conference after the show today.
I do have a little bit of news I wanted to bring to our listeners.
Okay.
Right from the horse's mouth, Ellis Hobbs was in the locker room.
Yep.
Had surgery last Wednesday, had a screw inserted in his wrist, is not wearing anything right now other than one of those butterfly band-aids on his left wrist.
So is it the same injury as Bruschi?
He wouldn't get into details, but it sounded like those reports are right, because someone asked, you know, have you talked to Teddy, and he kind of acknowledged he's talked to Teddy about it. They're different, but they have talked about it. But he is taking it day to day, said, quote, he doesn't want to baby it, but he doesn't want to push it either.
Right.
Kind of inferred that he was a little bit of a quote-unquote game-time decision last week, even though he didn't travel. So the decision was made before they actually traveled. But he's kind of taking that mentality that he's going to prepare like he can play. As he said, they don't pay me to stand on the sidelines. He hasn't missed a game since high school. Found it very difficult last week. Said he actually had some tears while watching the game. So he's a guy that's going to push it. It'll sound like it'll be, you know, the medical staff, if anything, will have to reel him in a little and say, well, let's ease off if he needs to or whatever.
Do you think the fact that he's playing corner as opposed to linebacker could get him back out there quicker?
Yeah, and he acknowledged that. He said, for me, the biggest thing is my legs and getting in position. That's the biggest part of the play. Yeah, maybe if he had to wear, he doesn't even know what he would have to wear. He said, you know, it might not be anything, might be something light. But even if it affects him, that's kind of the final step in the process as a cornerback. You have to get in position to make the play before you can either make the tackle or break the ball up. So he didn't feel like – he feels like he's definitely better off with this than a hamstring or a leg.
Well,
or
you know,
anything.
It's good news as far as injuries go, because you'd rather have something like a bone that you know can heal rather than one of those stupid hamstrings or upper ankle strains or, you know, that just linger.
Right, and with the screw in there, and, you know, he's now a week removed from the surgery.
Yep.
So
good news. And I'll bet you that, you know, a guy like Hobbs watches the performance of the defensive backfield last week, and that pushes him. You know, I need to be out there. I need to be out there, you know?
Yeah, he clearly wanted to be out there and doesn't, as I said, he hasn't missed a game since high school, so that's what he does. He plays when the game day comes.
All right, good news. And I guess there's a chance that there'll be an announcement later today. The Patriots, according to Mike Reese's blog.
Huh?
Well, I read it on Mike Reese's blog first.
Well, you just asked me. There's two new guys in the locker room.
All right, there's two new guys in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't know how to say one guy's name.
Chidi Uwama.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
A former special teamer with the Steelers, was actually their special teams captain last year, was cut right before the season this year when I think they added, who was it, St. Pierre? Because Roethlisberger couldn't go. They needed to add a quarterback quickly to the roster, and this guy got the cut there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come back with them, but was, as I said, their co-special teams captain was Sean Morey, so a pretty productive special teamer. Little guy. You know, just haven't looked at his stats, what he's listed as, but Can't be more than 5'8", 5'9", short guy, built, obviously, you know, kind of guy that'll run down the field, throw his body around.
Yep.
And then there's also a lineman in the locker room who Gary says looks like somebody from Scooby-Doo.
The guy who was frozen in the block of ice.
Jeez.
Do you know what that is, Fred?
I don't know. I didn't see that episode.
I'm sure some of our listeners will recall it, but he's a big, tall, I guess, looks like a guy from Scooby-Doo lineman. I think it's Babin, or B-A-B-N, B-A-B-E-N.
Okay.
Looks like a tackle type, a lineman type. I'm sure, as Bill said, we'll have a release later in the day on that, so yeah. You might even get that during the show. I don't know.
Okay. Now, to bring in Spann, they released Murkowski, right?
Right.
Do they have, if they bring in Owamo, do they have to release someone?
No. They have a roster spot open and two practice squad spots.
Oh, okay. They do have a spot open.
Why do they have a roster spot
open? Yeah, I'm wondering.
I knew it a second ago. Oh, they released Jonathan Smith on Monday.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
And
jeez,
practice, we hardly knew ye.
Wait, Smith they released or Sullivan?
Smith.
Smith, okay.
Sullivan plays defensive line. He's still
I know.
There.
They
released Jonathan Smith, and on the
you
practice
think
squad.
O'Sullivan.
JT O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan they released
from the practice squad. Which is one of the open spots.
Okay.
The other is the spot that Spann took when he moved from the practice squad to the active roster.
Okay. But that was opened by Murkowski being released.
Right.
And now Jonathan
coming into today,
Smith got released.
They had
which
an
gave
open
them
roster
a spot,
spot,
and they've now filled it, we think, with Chidi Iwama.
It's not official yet, but I would expect the release this afternoon. He's
okay.
In the locker room. He's wearing 29. He is in Deion Branch's former locker next to Ben Watson.
So Jonathan Sullivan is still with the team.
For now. You wouldn't know by performance.
All right. So that updates you on all the personnel news. I just want to inform any of our listeners in the New England area that we debuted our show, the Patriots Football Weekly Show, on New England Cable News last night. And every Tuesday night at 11, and it's also repeated at 11:30. And so depending on where you are, New England Cable News shows up at a different station. In my area, which is around the stadium, it's Channel 6. I don't know, where are you?
8.
It's 8 mm-hmm. where you are. So if you're, and I guess they're on satellite too, New England Cable News. I think some people with satellite can get
in 3 million homes or something around New England.
Around New England, right. So New England Cable News, we debuted, hosted by Chris Collins, who's their sports guy there. And it came out all right. You know, we had a few reviews. One person thinks that... One person thinks that you should be slap silly.
That'll come to no surprise to our listeners, I'm sure.
And I got another review from a watcher who said that we looked more comfortable on 56, which he didn't like the high chairs.
I liked those.
Yeah, I like having something to lean on. You have the table to kind of lean on. Mm-hmm. The chairs at 56 were terrible, you know.
I liked the new setup. We're a work in progress.
It's not bad.
We're like the Patriots early in the year. We'll grow. Each week we'll improve a little bit.
The idea is to improve, mm-hmm. right? It's not where you start. It's where you finish.
Right. And so, we're going to finish atop the ratings.
So we'll be interested, you know, as our listeners in the New England area get to list to watch it, to see what you think. Let us know. As Andy said, you know, we'd like to hear, and it's a work in progress. And
unless you want to slap me, keep that to yourself.
No, that's okay. We want to hear that, too. But you were very contentious. It just seemed no matter what anyone said, you wanted to fight.
And I didn't feel that way.
I'm stunned.
No, you were, I guess, on top of your game, which is the a-hole game.
Hey.
That's why we call you Andy Hart.
A-hole, Phuket. Can we say
I'm
anything
stunned.
We want on the show now?
Sure, we're not regulated by the FCC here. All right, the email address is...
Oh, we're regulated by the RKK.
That's all right.
Coleman, you're not afraid, RKK?
I don't think he's listening. Webradio at Patriots.com.
Faith and democracy.
Now, Garrett, remember, you can download this to podcast now, so you can...
Does he have an iPod?
I think he does. I know Jonathan has several.
Okay, good to know.
Every time there's a new generation out, he goes, order me one of those. So, you all right? You need a bib? Andy's eating chicken fingers while we're doing the show, and I think one just went down the wrong pipe. Yeah, that's what that cough button's for.
I turned it off.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. We're still basking in the glory of that win against the Bengals. And
not the Patriots. We're moving on.
Of course not.
It's a one-game season right now.
Absolutely.
Streaks don't mean anything. All he's looking to do is put together two wins in a row.
As far as the experts go and all their power rankings, the Patriots have shot up
top five, right?
The ladder. And Vic Carucci's their top four or five, yeah.
I know ESPN has him, I believe, at five from like 11 or 12 last week.
Yeah. What a difference a week makes.
I agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they beat Cincinnati was number one on some of the rankings last week. So you beat them, you should at least move into the top five. I
lost a lot of respect for the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, this is my first chance on the air here. I think of them as less of a team now, and not talent-wise, but to me, they kind of fell into that. We saw it with the Jaguars here last year in the playoffs, weren't ready to play that kind of game. We've seen it with the Colts before. Yeah, they can beat up on people. Yeah, they have a lot of talent. Yeah, they can put up points, but they don't necessarily have the will, the heart, the intelligence, the intestinal fortitude to fight. And I felt that was the game on Sunday.
Well, the question,
they went up 6-0. Had they gone up 14-0, I think there's a chance they roll to victory.
Absolutely. The question is this one of those blueprint games? How will they respond from this point on, or has Bill Belichick once again supplied the blueprint for all other teams to beat these guys?
That's the question I have. I just don't get it, and no one ever seems to respond honestly. Everybody, whenever the Patriots have one of these games, they usually play a lot of, like, cover two with two safeties helping the corners out over the top. They probably have five or six DBs on the field. Why are teams, it's like that's this magic, you know, the kryptonite. It just makes these offenses incapable of moving the ball because they can't throw the ball down the field.
Well, I think it's not simply just a cover two, because I think a lot of it has to do with where the linebackers line up and where they switch to once the ball snapped. And it's a spot that you think was going to be vacated because of a route, all of a sudden isn't.
I just heard a number of receivers, quarterbacks over the years talk about, well, they had help over the top and there was nothing we could do about it. I mean, is it that simple?
If it was that simple, everybody would do that.
How about just take the underneath stuff that they're giving you and meticulously work your way down the field instead of keep trying to look for the big play?
Well, that was a point you and Paul both made last night on the TV show, is that, you know, one of the things they also gave up on was Rudy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just stopped running Rudy Johnson. You know, they got impatient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the first two drives that ended in field goals, which for the Patriots was a victory.
No question.
You know, that set the tone for the game. You know, that allowed them, instead of, you know, obviously 14 points, 6 points, it's one score rather than two scores just a tie.
Plus, you can still run the ball. It's not getting out of control at an early time. It's one score, and you take the lead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was a big key to the game.
So,
but I just don't – these teams, it's like they can't adjust. Oh, they got two safeties. We might as well pack it in for the day. We can't play offense. Well, why? Run the ball, take the underneath stuff as you can, and work your way down the field. You know, 7-6, you're still in the game. I mean, I just don't get it. It seems like teams – can't adjust on the fly against the Patriots as well as sometimes the Patriots adjust on the fly against other teams. And I'm talking about some coaches who are generally considered pretty good coaches. You know, Marvin Lewis is considered a very good defensive mind, obviously, and then he's been a pretty successful head coach, giving some credibility to Cincinnati that they lacked for a long, long time. And yet, for some reason, they can't adjust, it doesn't seem.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. I'll give you that again. It's 508-543-7482. We've been getting a little bit more phone calls. You know, email is the predominant way that people talk to the show, but, more and more people, I think, are calling up, you know, the show.
We have so many listeners from around the world, for example, from Phuket, Thailand, you know, I'm sure that would be a costly phone call to dial in from there.
Right, well.
And you'd get the phone bill and you'd say, what the Phuket?
I wonder if...
Bucket Thailand.
Gary, you would know. How much does it cost to set up an 800 number for, like, a show like this?
Why would I know?
Because you're a radio guy. Aren't you?
Not a phone guy.
Yeah, but, you know, setting up this stuff, you and Doug Lane, don't you know how to do all this stuff?
That's probably a question for IT.
IT. Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, you don't get anything out of them.
All right.
Certainly not quick internet.
All right, what else? Brady had his... How was Bill today, by the way?
Bill was fine. Very praiseful of Nick Saban, and I brought this up off the air to you guys. Very interesting, the opposing ways he addressed Eric Mangini and Nick Saban. brought out all his quotes for Nick, great football mind. I learned more from him while he was on my staff in Cleveland than he probably learned from me. Damn good football coach. He just went on and on for 3 or 4 minutes just praising him and what he expects to see from them. Any decision Nick Saban makes is the best decision for his football.
And you don't feel like he was that way with Mangini? Huh?
He wouldn't even address Eric Mangini.
Well, I know, but how could he?
Never said Eric once.
He hasn't been a head coach yet.
He said Nick like 8 times.
Yeah, but he hasn't been a head coach yet.
He was very praiseful of Nick Saban before he was a head coach in the NFL. He praised him
nonstop. No, but he was a head coach.
No one asked if he was a good head coach. They asked if Eric was a good coach, and he didn't even want to play that game.
He didn't know.
When did you think he was going to be a head coach? I don't make those decisions. Other people in the league make those. Come on. He clearly doesn't have the same respect for Eric Mangini that he has for Nick Saban.
I don't think he should.
Okay.
Eric Mangini has not proven himself yet.
Proven himself pretty
Nick
well,
Saban
I think, in the first
month. Saban has won a national championship with LSU.
I'm excited.
You know,
to be a head
he's
coach.
Done a lot of things. He's been around for, what, 25 years?
Who's got more talent, Nick Saban or Eric Mangini right now?
On his team?
Mm-hmm.
I would say... I don't know. You know, that's a tough one. You would think Miami hands down,
yeah,
but a lot of that
right
talent's getting older.
That's the right answer to the question. And now who's played better through the first month of the season?
Zach Thomas,
the New York
Jason
Jets.
Taylor, they're getting older.
Comes down to coaching.
Their offensive line stinks. I take Pennington over Culpepper. Now I would take
really?
The receivers and the tight end of the Dolphins over what they've got, you know, at Jets, and I would also take the running back. But you know, defense, the Jets' defense isn't bad either.
No, they're a pretty good young linebacker.
You know, that's a question at first glance. You say Miami
because
things they've
done
in the past.
That's the right answer.
Well, I don't know. Hasn't proven out this year so far.
That was my point. Eric Mangini's done a pretty goddarn good coaching job through the first month of the season.
Okay.
You know, are you going to dispute that?
No, I think he has done.
I've been very much surprised.
I'm not ready to put him in Canton.
Those New York Jets have.
I'm not ready to put him in Canton.
I'm not either, but Bill Belichick's ready to put Nick Saban in Canton.
Well, I mean, most coaches he is. You know.
Exactly.
Except,
now we're getting to the root of the point. Most coaches he praises, except Eric Mangini.
Once with a track
record.
We've
got to get past this, because I'm going to get a bad emails from this. They're going to tell me to go watch soap operas and suck it up.
Once with a track record. Without a track record, he would seem really disingenuous.
The guy who had no track record was good enough to stay with Bill Belichick and get promoted to defensive coordinator.
If Belichick came out and said, what a great coach he is, leader of men, blah, blah, blah. He'd be really disingenuous because he's coached 4 games so far.
Because he doesn't believe it.
2 games by the time that they played him.
My personal opinion is he does not believe that Eric Mangini is ready to be a head coach and good enough to be a head coach.
Do you
right
believe
now.
That all the people that he praises, he believes that?
No.
Okay. So.
But I find it interesting
so
that
his
moot praise
point.
Is so cheap he can give it out to any old person, just not the guy who worked for him for a decade.
Because it would be so, you know. What is transparent?
Disingenuous?
Yes, transparent, because the guy hasn't coached yet.
Okay.
So he'd be commenting on something that hasn't happened yet.
The phone calls.
You know, he's not that stupid. Let's see. That's Bill Belichick calling.
Andy, you're out.
All right. What? Who? Wayne in Jacksonville. Wayne, you want to talk?
Sure.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to say what a week, huh? Oh my gosh.
It's a lot better week than last week.
Yeah, I had to watch the game down here on the satellite, so I was in the bar, and, you know, I had the Jacksonville game on one side, and, you know, I had to listen to all that, and I'm trying to watch this game, and what a good week. Hey, I just was wondering, what happened to the rookie Ryan O'Callaghan there on the offensive line? Did he get hurt?
Yes.
He has a head injury, which generally means he got some sort of a concussion 2 weeks ago against the Broncos.
Okay.
Didn't even make the trip to Cincinnati. Wesley Britt obviously started in his place, and they didn't really miss him when they rushed for 236 yards. But I saw Ryan O'Callaghan in the locker room today. He generally does not speak with the media. They put the clamps on him pretty early, actually told him to shut the blank up early in the year.
Wow.
I think it's a head injury, and he's improving.
How about the tight end, Dave Thomas? Did he get any time yet? I haven't even seen him.
Well, he actually had a end zone pass thrown to his direction against the Bengals. Brady overthrew him a little bit.
Yeah, he threw it too hard and kind of behind him. Was a poorly thrown ball. But, yeah, he's been out there in their 3 tight end sets a little bit. Hasn't had a ton of opportunities to catch the ball, but he's in the mix.
Okay. I was really wanting to see him play a little bit.
Hey, Wayne, down in Jacksonville, were you what? A lot of other Patriot fans? Are you the only guy out there?
I was one of two, the bartender and me.
Okay. All right. It's a good ally.
It'll be worse this week because I think we're favored in the paper by like 9.5 against Miami, so I'm going to have to listen to that all night, too. So.
Okay. What's the feeling down there in regards to the Dolphins? Obviously, been a bit of a disappointment early in the year, but are people giving up on them, or do they think this is the week they turn it around? Or
they are really heavily down on a quarterback right now and his offensive line.
Yeah,
and it is like they are just shocked that they can't get anything going, especially after losing to Tennessee last week. Was it Tennessee last week?
Last week was Houston.
Houston.
Is there any sentiment that Culpepper just wasn't healthy, wasn't ready to play? Has that been thrown around?
He is just favoring that leg,
right.
And he is just not ready to play. I mean, he is just ducking every hit that he can, and then his line is not protecting him, and they just get to him too fast.
So he just holds
on to that ball too long right now.
Right. Has there been any criticism from columnists and writers or what have you, radio, towards Saban for maybe putting him out there when he's not ready to play?
All over the radios down here.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, and they're getting the same thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now after that loss to Indy. It was Indianapolis the week before and
yeah.
then this week. Also the loss there.
Yeah, so. I have my questions about the Jaguars. I'll be honest with you. My questions date back to when they came up short against the Patriots here last year. I didn't think they showed up for that game. And, you know, I think there's some questions about them.
Well, you know, I sat in the stands and I watched the opening day. I watched against Dallas, and I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, that got them rolling. And then when they got Pittsburgh, well, that was huge down here.
Right.
I mean, huge game. And so they thought they were going to go in and have the same luck against, Indianapolis, and they didn't have anywhere close to that. And then last week was, you know, it's more of the same.
All right, so
they're all over that, Leftwich and all that stuff again down here.
Before we let you go, Wayne, what are your thoughts for this week? A Patriots blowout or one of those tough AFC East battles?
I want to say blowout, but every time you say that, you go in there and something doesn't go your way and they just come up with something. I'm going to say a comfortable 10 points, but that would be nice for me. I would say a comfortable 10 points because I think Miami's got to come out swinging. They have to.
Right.
They have no choice. Or they're going to have to sit Dante down for their backup quarterback. So I think they're going to come out swinging as hard as they can, and that could change something. They got to do something, and they know it. So I would say 10 points would be nice. I'd be comfortable if they could hold that lead.
All right, Wayne. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys again.
Okay. That's Wayne in Jacksonville, Florida.
Does he own the Jaguars? Isn't that guy Wayne something?
Wayne Weaver.
Was that Wayne Weaver there?
I don't think so.
He's turned on his team, started rooting for the Patriots now?
A little bit young for Wayne. You know, last night on our show, all of us predicted the Patriots would win fairly comfortably. I think the closest score was 9. I think Tom predicted 23-14 or something like that. But the host, Chris Collins, believes that it's going to be a very close game.
And that was what Bill Belichick opened his press conference with today, talking about. He went back looking at his notes about their Miami games in the past and how they're all so close.
Right.
You know,
so now it's okay to look back in the past.
Right.
Usually,
now history means something.
Right.
But he was referencing, obviously, they had a few overtime games there for a while. And then last year, the Dolphins came back in the first game with a throwing into the end zone at Ellis Hobbs.
Ellis Hobbs had to make a couple plays.
At the end of the year, Matt Cassel was trying to take the lead for the Patriots, intentionally threw it away so they could face the Jaguars in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sure Bill said that, right?
I paraphrased.
Yeah, okay. but, you know, I first of all, I said on the show, and I'm going to say it again, there's no way the Patriots are going to lose this game and come out flat, have a letdown from the Bengals, anything like that, after what they did at home 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's what Bill's going to remind them. The last time you played here, this is what happened. You better go out and protect this house.
I kind of agree with that, but I think that's one of those things. Even if you know it in your head, sometimes it's hard to believe it and enact it to 100%.
Yeah, but this team, don't you think that this team
yes.
does
no,
that
no
well?
No question, but
yeah.
I think it's easier
they don't have
for the
letdowns.
Dolphins to make this their season because, in a lot of respects,
it is. And no,
so
they're
going to
come out. They're going
to
come
I
out.
I think it was easier for the Patriots to get up last week with the world's against us mentality than this week.
I think this won't be a game of who wanted it more. I think both teams are going to want it. It's just execution, you know, like Belichick likes to say what it usually does come down to, and that's what this game's going to come down to. And on that end, I just think the Patriots have a better team right now.
I do, too, and the matchups, I think, favor the Patriots a lot. You know, this defensive line against that offensive line where they've brought different guys in at right guard. They're not all that talented to begin with. Culpepper can't get out of his own way, so you should be able to pressure him.
Right.
The one fear, and I told you this on the TV show, is, in my eyes, if you do knock him out of the game, or if he's so bad they choose to bring in Harrington, and you get that little boost from the backup quarterback that you see sometimes of, you know, he just starts playing a little bit better, makes some plays, guys start believing in him, and it changes the whole mentality for that short period, whether it's a half or three quarters.
So you tell Jarvis Green and Seymour, just wrap him up, don't take him down. Just wrap his arms up so he can't throw, you know.
Could be.
All right, let's get to some emails here, webradio@patriots.com. The first one is from a Pats fan in Seattle named Shannon. I assume it's a she. So she says, I always look forward to downloading the PFW in Progress podcast on Tuesday to Friday. Great job. Keep it up. I know that this Pats fan way out here in Seattle really appreciate it. My question is about Ben Watson and Tom Brady. And you may as well throw in Dan Graham. It seems like every preseason, Brady falls in love with one of his talented tight ends. A few years ago, Brady was calling Graham Grambo and throwing out Pro Bowl predictions. Last year and this year, he did the same for Watson. Both Watson and Grambo had only minimum TD receptions in those years, and so far Watson has zero TDs this year, although he should have had one in the Jets game.
Yes.
What's up with that? It seems to me that they do have that kind of potential, but it's not coming through. Are teams throwing extra attention at these two, or are they just failing to try hard enough to get open? And since we're on tight ends, what happened to Mills? He looked awfully good in preseason. Will he be in as a fullback, a tight end, anytime soon?
No.
Well, what about the tight ends, though?
Well, I think part of the allure of Daniel Graham and Benjamin Watson is the physical. Outside the football field, the size, the strength, the testing, excuse me, all of that. They've never been able to put it all together on the football field. And it shows how hard it is from the tight end position to truly become dominant.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason it doesn't happen all that often where a team's flat-out best offensive weapon is the tight end. Because I think it's difficult at times to dominate a game from that spot. You can create mismatches. You can do a lot of different things. But I think sometimes it's difficult to have that be your go-to guy. That said, I agree with Shannon. He should have had a touchdown pass against the Jets. Brady missed him. He's had some plays. But until the offense gets clicking, I think, on all cylinders, where you have a Doug Gabriel or a Troy Brown and Chad Jackson as every down threats elsewhere, I think it is a little easier to focus on the tight ends and try to take them away.
But one thing I will say, in Graham's defense, one of the, you know, keys to the running game so far has been his blocking.
No one will ever question his blocking. He's a great blocking tight end. But that, you know, that's not superstardom.
But that's part of the job.
No
He's
question.
Doing it well.
No question. But for Watson, people were looking for a breakout year.
Right.
He leads the team in catches, but it's only 12.
Right.
He hasn't been dominant. He hasn't had one of those, you know, 8 catches for 150-yard game or anything of that nature. It's a slow development. Will he ever reach? You know, Tom Brady used the word dominant. He can be a dominant playmaker for this offense. Will he ever reach that? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. He certainly isn't anywhere near it right now.
She goes on to say, one thing that never ceases to amaze me is when Pats fans outside of the New England area call or email stating that they had to go to the bar to watch the game, or they just plain missed the game because it wasn't on local TV. Get DirecTV and the NFL ticket already. You are a fool not to have this. Every Sunday out here in Seattle, I'll grill up steaks, chicken, salmon, and or baby back pork ribs.
She's hot, too.
I'm coming to Shannon's house.
Get to walk calmly over to the fridge to grab one of my beers or mix a cocktail
She's
or
hot
eight
too.
And watch the Pats uninterrupted with my girl and somebody. So Shannon must be a guy.
Oops.
Unless, you know, which is okay, too. not that there's anything wrong with that. When the game is over, I get to watch whatever other game I want. On top of it, I don't have to drive home. And God forbid, if the Pats lose, I have my hot girlfriend here
nice.
And the rest of the Myers rum bottle to conceal my sorrows. Get it? Get with it already, you out-of-area Pats fans, and don't stop ripping the local home team. The Sea Chickens are sorry. Any so-called Pats fans that I heard were cursing at Tom Brady and yelling, you suck, at Gillette against the Broncos can kiss my ass and go buy a Dolphins jersey.
Wow.
Patriots 24, hated fish 10.
Shannon, I have a quick question for you if you are listening. What's the chatter in Seattle surrounding Dion Branch, first of all, and then most importantly, how's Tom Ashworth doing? Because I've lost touch with Tom Ashworth. I don't even think he's playing out there.
Okay, Shannon, you have your homework assignment. Andy has a question for you.
And you can get back to me next week if it sounds like he's a podcast listener.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, email in after you hear this on your podcast and get back to me on, I want to know how Branch is being received out there, and I want to know what Tom Ashworth's up to and why he's not playing, really.
Salt in Orlando.
Where's Peppa?
He says, I know previously you guys have stated, why would the Patriots want players that couldn't cut it on other teams? But I still have to ask, do you think that there is any chance the Patriots try to bring in recently cut Ahmad Carroll? He got cut last night, I guess. I don't know much about the guy. All I really know is that he was a previous first-round pick, but something in me believes he would be an upgrade over the two guys I really like, Hank Poteet and Troy Brown.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. That he'd be an upgrade, because I don't think it's about pure physical talent here for Bill Belichick.
No.
It's about accountability. It's about him knowing you're going to learn the assignment, put out, you know, do the assignment to the best of your ability, be where he thinks you should be, not necessarily be able to run a 4.3 40 and run with some fast receiver. He likes guys he can trust. I think he's come to trust Troy Brown as a defensive back. You know, while we might laugh about it and it was all gimmicky at first, this is the third year in a row he's been willing to put him out there. I think he trusts him, and I think that's the biggest factor with him. He trusts Hank Poteet. He trusts Chad Scott. He trusts these guys as professionals to do what he asks them to do, and I think that goes a long way in getting on the field here.
Now, I guess I wasn't on the show yesterday, neither were you, but I guess a lot of Albert Haynesworth talk, and Tom might have got into it with somebody, a disagreement on what actually happened.
There's a shot.
Look at that douchebag.
John is writing in to Tom. He says, I sent you an email during the show yesterday about Albert Haynesworth. I found a YouTube clip that showed what happened. Tom, he didn't notice the helmet was off. He bent down and took it off. I TiVo'd this a few times, and you can't see the guy take it off, but the helmet was on. He bent over, backed up, and the helmet was off. The only other way the helmet came off is if the cowboy took it off himself. So I guess it was a thing of what, whether Haynesworth ripped the helmet off, perhaps?
I don't know. But
Maybe Tom can email us or stop down and tell us what's going on with that.
I got to tell you, it was awful. But my reaction to that, I saw Vince Wilfork locally on TV last night in one of his weekly spots, and they asked him about it. And my reaction is the same as his.
Vince Wilfork.
What came before that? Something had to happen during the game.
Yeah, but nothing justifies it.
No, nothing justifies it, but something happened. There's a reason
absolutely.
That happened. As Vince said,
he was upset.
People don't see it, but a lot goes on in those trenches that's dirty and wrong, and, you know, tempers start to flare and stuff happens. I'm not defending. Albert Haynesworth wouldn't defend Albert Haynesworth. He understands.
Right.
He lost control.
Right.
He crossed a line that you just can't cross.
Just punishment? 5 games?
Yeah, I think it was pretty just.
I think so, too.
I got to tell you, the most important thing for me is I saw his comments, and I think he was truly embarrassed by what he did.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about...
He wasn't right afterward, though. I mean, he was, you know...
Well, he was... But there's a difference.
Yeah.
You're still... The adrenaline's... You've lost... There's no question he lost control.
It would be interesting to see, but in his defense, Haynesworth didn't offer an excuse. He didn't say, well, he did this to me.
He brought up his kids, you know, talking about... He was looking at a picture of his kids and was a little... You don't buy it.
Well, no, I do, but all I need to know is that he's sorry. I don't need to know.
I think he was being honest, saying he didn't want his kid to have a last name that was kind of tied to. I mean, it'd be like Jack Tatum. If you're Jack Tatum's son, being a Tatum implies something.
He doesn't want.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He didn't want that tied to his kids, and I thought that was, you know, he handled it. He could have just walked out of the locker room and tried to ignore it and brooded and said, you know what, he did something to me first.
Right.
He didn't try to.
No,
do
he
that.
Didn't do that.
So I got to respect him for that.
Okay. On the phone right now is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Now, I haven't talked to you in like a year.
It's probably been that long. I've been talking to everybody but you. Every time I turn the show on, I'm like, damn, Fred's not there. You're full of crap.
Funny, the other listeners all say the exact opposite.
I actually have things to do, Craig, unlike these guys. But anyway,
yeah.
It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, same here.
What's up?
Well, just... First off, responding to one of the emailer's questions about Ahmad Carroll, Troy Brown is a better defensive back than Ahmad Carroll. Ahmad Carroll sucks. he can't cover a check. I mean,
whoa.
This, I'm serious. I mean, running backs are getting open against him. Tight ends getting open against him. I mean, it's like he's completely clueless. You won't see the Patriots picking him up. Matter of fact, he'll be dangling out there until somebody gets really desperate. I'm sure there are guys on the Patriots practice squad who can cover better than Ahmad Curl.
All right.
I mean, he sucks. And regarding the conversation yesterday, there was a debate as to whether or not Haynesworth had ripped off his helmet. In actuality, who hasn't seen that play over and over again in slow-mo? His helmet came off when Haynesworth kicked him in the back and his foot slid forward and it took his helmet off.
Huh.
And then Haynesworth was looking straight down on him and going, hey, you know, the guy's open here. And he went ahead and kicked him in the head.
Yeah.
Now, both Haynesworth and Gerard have said that they didn't even speak to each other up until that point of the game.
Hmm.
So it wasn't a payback or anything like that. It was just, you know, he got caught up in the moment, which he has historically done. And, you know, the violent part of it, you know, it's a controlled, violent game.
Now, he does have a little bit of a history, Haynesworth does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, he left practice back a couple years ago. He and a guy had gotten into it and came back a little bit later with a lead pipe.
Is that right?
Yeah. So.
Well, then this guy has more trouble than what
there's no question. Yeah. He has a track record, and he's a little nuts.
Oh, so then they should get him some help hurts somebody else, don't you think?
Yeah, and I'm sure they will.
I mean, a 5-game suspension's fine for now, but also they should force him to maybe get into a little therapy, perhaps?
Right. I think that should be spearheaded by the Titans.
Yeah.
Because some of these things happen in practice, so they have a better understanding maybe than the league of what this guy is all about, and I think they should they should look into that.
Little roid rage, perhaps?
But I don't see the Titans doing that, guys, because that's just going to put more attention on the subject.
Well, no one needs to know about it.
Yeah.
When he's off for 5 weeks, he should spend some of that 5 weeks with a counselor or whatever they feel.
You'd be surprised at how many guys in the NFL are in therapy.
Right. It doesn't need to get out there. That's between.
I'm just surprised that, you know, it doesn't get out. I mean, hell, they reveal everything.
Yeah. Well, I think they can keep that quiet if they really want to.
Plus, that's one of those where you can get in trouble if you're
right.
a person leaking
that's a doctor.
It
yeah,
right.
That's,
you can get in trouble for that.
Sure. Anything else, Craig?
Well, first thing, regarding the score this weekend, I think the Pats are going to win 30-13. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, you know, we still have some money under the cap. I know we had an excellent game last week. I mean, every Patriot fan out there was like me, they were bouncing off the ceiling, considering how they played against Denver. Do you guys think that they're going to make any moves to solidify the defensive backfield or shore up our wide receiving core?
No, I don't expect too many major moves.
Randy Moss might be available.
Yeah, I have no interest in that at this point. the defensive backfield, I think Hobbs, you know, as he discussed today, is not going to be out for very long. So I think that'll help
Wilson.
Them. Wilson, I don't know. You know, that's a hamstring injury. The obvious fear there is that's one of those that lingers and is recurring throughout the year. But I got to be honest with you, I think Artrell Hawkins is a pretty good player, and I think when you line him up next to Rodney Harrison, you might be just as good as Wilson and Harrison, maybe better at this point. Wilson's been a little bit of a disappointment of late. And at receiver, I think they like the direction it's going with Doug Gabriel finally getting out there and producing over the last game and a half. I think that should only get better. And I know for a fact that Tom Brady feels like it's going in the right direction there with the passing game, and that's good enough for me. If he feels like it's improving with the running game that I think now is a given, I think this offense is moving in the right direction.
Well, one last thing, guys. When do you think Childress is going to see the field?
Only in emergencies.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, he just seems to show a lot, I guess, in preseason and you know,
yep.
the end of games when it really doesn't matter.
And he's a nice little player. I just don't think he'll ever develop into more than that. He's an emergency kind of guy, a fifth wide receiver kind of guy. But I don't see him being much. If he's out there on a regular basis, I think it speaks volumes in a negative fashion for the rest of your career.
I don't think he'll ever be a Pro Bowler, but I think that eventually he'll be a contributor somewhere in this league.
Really going out on a limb there, Freddie.
No, I don't mean. I mean as a third, you know,
I don't.
Receiver.
I don't.
Well, okay. I see some good athleticism in the guy, and I see a guy who, you know, can produce when he's out there. All right, Craig, thanks for the call.
The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details. It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Aw, yeah. Feels good.
It is from, I didn't even catch it. It is from,
Phuket, Thailand. It's actually pronounced Phuket. Like Fred.
All right. Back here in PFW in progress, Fred and Andy and Tom has just stopped down. He heard his name mentioned and flew down here. I never saw anyone move so fast.
Well, Gary called me. Can't I get a moment's peace? I'm up there trying to do work. And you
know, I go down, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
Listen, let me explain this to you, okay?
Okay.
Andy, you know me. Do you think I've seen the play about 1,000 times?
Yes.
Okay. It was on again last night. I rewinded it 3 times. I said to my wife, you're a rational
human being. You're
not married. Well, my fiance. I said, did the guy take his helmet off? Listen, when Garrod came down, his helmet was coming off. Haynesworth looked at him, scratched his face once with his cleat, then did it again. The helmet was coming off on Garrod from the play.
What's the argument here you're in?
He said the guy bent down and took his helmet off.
Who did?
Someone yesterday.
No, but he said that Haynesworth bent down and pulled his helmet off?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that didn't happen.
Did you see the YouTube clip that somebody sent you?
But the YouTube clip is no different. It's just the clip of what actually happened.
Okay.
I've seen the play 100 times.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the helmet was like, I don't know if it was like almost all the way off, and when he hit him the first time, it came off. I don't know, but the helmet was coming off from the play.
Right.
You can see that clearly when you look at it.
Okay.
Right. Unless I'm blind, I mean, I do wear glasses and contacts.
No, I think that's accurate.
Hey, Mike just writes in, and he says, how old is Tom? I recently saw him. His face and voice don't match. He sounds pretty mature. Looks like a high schooler.
He sounds mature.
His obnoxious nature has grown on me, though, kind
Look
of like mold. So
a lot of people have told me not that I've grown on them. On the other part,
you're only 19.
Well, I got away with that crap, and when I went back to college, and I told everybody I was 25.
Right.
And I wasn't even close to 25. But then they couldn't, because no one, when I really told people my age, they couldn't believe it. So I guess I must look younger than I am.
That's not a bad thing.
I like young girls. I do like young girls. I can tell you that. I almost sent you an email. The title was, what do these running backs have in common? Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Lawrence Maroney.
They're all married to 19-year-olds.
They'll all be in the Hall of Fame someday.
All right.
See, this guy's been spending too much time with Felger, Fred. He's got this negative attitude, and I'm sick of it.
Well, from what you see, you don't think that this guy is going to be a superstar?
I think he's tremendous.
Okay.
He's going to be very good.
So Tom is willing to say that right now.
But I'm anointed him a superstar at this point.
I think right now he's one of the NFL's young superstars. When I see his highlights all over ESPN and he's on polls of who had the best week, and he's had 2 games where he almost
ran for those polls last week when he played.
It was
18 yards.
It was one game where the offense did nothing. Okay.
All I'm saying is
to create
a superstar.
He had 100 yards. He had 100 yards.
He has 100 yard game in his career.
Yeah.
He was coming off his worst game by far.
Right.
So you take those two out to me and you say, okay, he's been good. Because those are the high and the low. So we'll just take the other two.
I think you're minimizing the high and you're over-exaggerating the low.
See, I don't. I think you just throw both of them out.
Because if the Patriots could have thrown the ball at all against the Broncos, those linebackers and safeties wouldn't have been able to be up there as opposed to the line of scrimmage.
I think a superstar is a guy, regardless of what happens, can go out there and perform.
I thought the most classless thing I've heard from Patriot fans since I've been here was when they were slamming Maroney for the Broncos game for dancing, and we're talking about Dylan. Like Dylan would have gotten 1 yard out of that backfield with those linebackers coming in the holes the way they did. But you'll see. We'll see. I remember when somebody...
I think he's going to be great. I'm just not ready to anoint him a superstar after four NFL games.
You need ESPN to tell you that he's great before you can say it.
No. I think they go the opposite, and they'll tell me he's great long before he's great. I think they are way too reactionary.
This guy got burnt with Chad Jackson. Now he's, you know...
Haven't been burnt. I think Chad Jackson will be just as effective as Lawrence Maroney in a year or two.
Whatever Chad Jackson's been smoking, I see you caught some of it.
Mike also says, you guys keep talking about how easy the schedule is. I disagree. With the Bills and Jets being much better than anticipated, I only see 3 real cupcakes on the schedule. You want to see easy schedules, take a look at some from the NFC like Seattle's.
Right, Seattle has a very easy schedule. I agree with that. But the Patriots, I still think, have a very easy schedule.
But I would say that I think the Bills and the at least the Jets, I think for sure, are a little bit better than we thought they would be.
And the Dolphins and are worse.
And the Bills might be a little bit better. Not meaning that the Patriots would lose those games, but they might be in for tougher battles.
Maybe a little, but I still think it's a pretty easy schedule.
As Fred is well sure to tell you, the Bills have a pretty good defense.
Right.
I think they do. And, you know, Paulke's all over. You have 28 points against the Jets. Yeah. And he fails to say how Losman fumbled the ball away twice in that game and threw an interception. He just he's so stubborn. The Bills have a pretty good defense.
It's okay. I don't think it's as good as you think. I don't think it's as bad as Paul thinks.
Well,
that's I'm in the same
boat. It's a middle of the road.
Right now I'm ready to say I think it's better than the Dolphins.
Well, you know what it is, Fred? I think it's a young, aggressive, athletic defense. So I think they're going to have games where they look real good. Then I think they're going to have some games where they make mental mistakes and coverage errors because they're young.
With the exception of maybe the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl, if your offense doesn't help you out, it's hard to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to help each other out. If you're constantly back on the field in three or four plays, it's tough for any defense. And, you know, but Losman has played better, so he's helping them out a little bit.
But to your point, we were talking about Maroney, about the running game. But then we were saying, in today's NFL, how many teams are going to completely shut the running game down like the Broncos did? Maybe the Bears, maybe Jacksonville,
right, on the schedule.
Very few.
Right.
So if they can keep running the football that way, the passing game will start to come along. Then the next thing you know, it's January. You know my old Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the playoffs.
There you go.
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the running game like I think it's going to be. They're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah.
We know the defense will be playing good football.
Especially if they're playing anywhere that doesn't include a dome. If they're on the outside, like in a cold weather
hosting,
place.
If they're hosting teams like the Bengals and the Colts,
they'll kill them again. The thing I love about Maroney is, you know, at first people were saying, oh, you got Dylan for the tough yards in between the tackles.
And Maroney is the
lightning guy. But he doles out punishment.
He's the total package.
And his stiff arm might even be better than Dylan's because it's quicker.
Now, Dylan is obviously a much bigger type of guy.
Right.
He's a bruising type of back. Maroney's not a bruiser, but as far as when he runs with a nasty streak.
Like
he hates the world.
Yeah.
He looks for people to hit.
And that's what Walter Payton used to say. He said, when I got on the field, I hated the world, and I wanted to take out my frustrations on anybody who tried to tackle me. And that's what I kind of get from him. He puts that shoulder down, and he just wants to hurt people.
Yeah. No, so I'm not sure that it's such a lightning and thunder type thing. I think it's more thunder and thunder with a little lightning thrown in.
I know you're not going to believe this, but Fred made a good point on the TV
show.
I don't buy it.
Fred made a good point.
Where do you read it?
This year, you're right. It's perfect because you don't have to have Maroney carrying the ball 30 times like Cadillac Williams did last year.
Yep.
Gets worn down in December. Then when the playoffs come, he's got nothing left in the tank. So for this year, you got a perfect situation. Next year, you say, thanks, Corey. Now we turn the page.
Right.
It's Maroney's show.
Right. And it's great for Corey, too.
Yeah.
You know,
and he seems to be embracing it.
You know, everyone thinks, if he doesn't get as long as he gets to play and is on the roster and can contribute, he's going to be fine.
He's going to have fun. I think he's really enjoyed the mentor role. He wants Maroney to go places he's already been. I mean, the guy set the single game NFL rushing record.
Right.
He's quote unquote a borderline Hall of Fame type candidate.
Yeah. He had 1,600 yards in a Super Bowl year.
Right.
I mean, what else could you be asking?
I think he's another Super Bowl, and
he knows Maroney can help him get there.
And you don't need to prove anything. He has nothing to prove.
I think he's a guy who's big on respect, and the fact that they gave him the ball four times in a row down there in Cincinnati, then gave him a game ball after the game, despite the fact Maroney had the big game.
Right.
I think that shows respect, and that's something he's big on.
Right. And they called him the day they drafted the guy.
Right. Too. That's something that shocked all of us. That's another good point.
There's nothing better than a harmonious locker room, right?
Right.
And the Patriots have
one, kind of locker
despite what a lot of people think.
I would say one thing that's better for us is an exciting locker room, and if you want one of those, go look at Cincinnati.
Oakland. What do you make of this Randy Moss thing? Do you think they would ever trade him?
I got him on my fantasy team, so I'm not thinking much of it because the guy's saying he's got more important things to worry about than football.
Yeah.
I think he gets overblown when people say he's not as bad as T.O. I just think he hasn't had I think T.O. is mentally crazy. I think he's got a mental problem.
Right.
I think Moss does not have a mental problem. I think he's just a selfish jerk. You know what? If you think that, Go to Al Davis. Go to the head coach. Go to somebody in the organization that can change it. Don't tell us.
Well, Moss has the same attitude that Bethel Johnson had, but he has more talent, which is authority. I just don't think he likes being told what to do, you know, and you know, Bethel Johnson even said it. The more someone tells me I have to do something, the more I don't want to do
right.
it. That's some people
now,
have that mentality. I think Moss is, has a little bit of an authority thing too.
Now I will defend Moss in one way. Like I think Corey Dillon got a bad rap in Cincinnati when he said, "Well, this team doesn't want to win." But Dillon was drafted by the Bengals. He was there for about 7 years before he made that comment. Okay, Moss went to Oakland on his own. You know,
right.
he wanted to go there.
Right.
He said, "Fine, I'll go there. I want to play here." And it's really not his fault that they got the mayor of Colorado or Idaho or the governor, wherever the heck they got the offensive coordinator, who still thinks it's 1980. He's got his quarterback doing 12-step drops. He's got all his receivers running fly patterns. So in that aspect, I would say it probably is frustrating. But you know what? He knew the deal that he was going. He went to a place where head coaches were turning that job down. Like 24-year-old head coaching prospects didn't want to go to Oakland. That's how bad it is. So he had to know. He had to know what was coming.
Yep. Let's see. Todd writes in, listen to you via podcast, so I won't be able to hear this live or hear what others ask you right now. I am catching up on yesterday's show and heard someone talk about Seymour and how he hasn't really shown up this season, especially in the Bengals game. I want to dispute that claim that Seymour isn't doing well by using stats, seeing as how people need stats to verify his impact. First, let's start off with his best season, which was 03. In 03, Seymour recorded 57 tackles, 34 of his own, 23 assists, had 8 sacks, 8 passes defended in 15 games. Now, this year, after 4 games, he's credited with 16 tackles, 10 of his own, 6 assists. He's also credited with 2.5 sacks and 3 passes defense. And that's from NFL.com. At this rate, he will complete the year with a total of 64 tackles, 38 and 26, with 10 sacks, 12 passes defended after 16 games. Now, this is all based on him continuing to play the way he is right now and not missing any time due to injuries. If he were to reach these numbers, this would have been his best year stat-wise in his entire career. So while Seymour may not seem to be doing all that well, he's quietly having a very good year, contrary to many fans and Tom's beliefs.
Well, I'll tell you why those
stats... Tom comes down every email.
No, but I'll tell you why that stat's stupid. When did he make those tackles? When did he make those sacks? That's why I think they're stupid. I'm telling you, and I compared him to Derek Jeter yesterday. Me and Paul were talking. Remember last year when Jeter kind of was off to that slow start and he got in a rut?
Yeah.
I think even great players get in a little slump. I'm just saying I think he's off to a bit of a slow start this year. I think by the time the season's over with, he'll be his usual dominant self. But I haven't seen him make the tackles in the backfield and the things that I'm used to seeing him do. He doesn't do it on every play, but against Denver, I thought he got thoroughly dominated. Okay, I thought he got thoroughly dominated in Kansas City last year when he went up against Willie Rolfe. So yeah, Richard Seymour will get dominated against in some games, but in a whole, I believe he's off to a slow start. I see a bunch of other guys making plays. What do you guys think?
I've heard other people talk about this. I don't think Seymour's been off to a slow start. I think he's been fine.
See, the problem
But I don't think the numbers when it tell him that he's having a good or a bad season. I don't think
And I've said this before.
Guy.
This is where my ignorance about football comes in because, you know, even when he was first named an All-Pro, you look at it and say, wow, you know, God, he must really be good because you watch the game and you don't see him making those big highlight reel plays.
You okay?
Yeah. You don't see him making those big highlight reel plays, but yet he gets, you know, all the accolades from the opposing coaches and the opposing players. So he's doing things in the game
that
not always, you know, are good for his stat book, but help his teammates do things.
That's the nature of not only the position, but the way they play.
Well, I think
when you ask a lineman to two-gap and hold an offensive lineman up, it's hard, you're not shooting the backfield.
So
you're not making plays.
My point is that I don't know if he's not as...
So what do they ask Ty Warren to do?
Same thing.
Okay.
Well, Ty Warren's got to make those plays when Seymour's being double-teamed.
And I haven't seen Ty Warren make a ton of plays either. I'll be honest with you.
But
I think he's made some plays.
He's having a good year.
I haven't seen him make a ton of these ridiculous plays in the backfield.
Well, that's not what 3-4 guys do.
Exactly.
I think
he's had a lot of tackles.
Right.
You know what that tells me? They're running at his side a lot.
But, you know, we talked about Colvin you know, before the Denver game, having so far a really good year.
I think he's tailed off.
Part of the, no, he has, but up through game three, you know, or up to game.
I
know,
thought his first two games were pretty
good. You have to credit, you know, I guess an aficionado would say that one of the reasons he's doing so well is because of what the guys up front are doing.
All right, so when a team like Denver's running the ball down your throw and Jake Plummer has all the time in the world, we won't blame Richard Seymour. We'll blame everybody else.
No.
Let's blame everybody else. Let's blame Dwayne Starr.
I'm just saying I don't know.
No, the question is why are you blaming Richard Seymour?
I didn't put all the blame on him. I said I thought he didn't.
People are ready to jump on Richard Seymour, and I think that's unfair.
Well, I want to go on record as saying I'm not jumping on Richard Seymour. I had brought this up kind of as just a thing to throw out there about a week ago, and some emailers have come in much harsher than I am. I just thought in the Denver game we could have used a little bit more Richard Seymour changing the tide of that game if he's supposed to be the player. We call him the best defensive lineman.
But when we look at defensive line and we think Bruce Smith and we think, you know, Reggie White and Michael Strahan, and those are all 4-3 typical prototype defensive end rush the passer guy. That's not the way the Patriots play.
No,
so you're not going to see that.
Right. No question.
You know?
But when your team's getting run over and you're not putting pressure, he's got to
take
some of the
blame.
That's all I'm saying.
And I hear what Tom's saying, too. If he's this guy is the best defensive lineman in the – then put him in the position to do that. Let him do – you know,
well,
I don't know.
That's not their scheme, though.
When they're having trouble like that.
Well, but you don't do that either. You don't totally get away from your defensive scheme because you're struggling for 5 minutes.
But I hear what Tom's saying.
You've struggled so much that they've given up, what, 16
well, you know
point,
why, Andy?
Points per game
actually,
or whatever?
Well, actually, Mike Reese had a very good thing yesterday in his little blog.
What,
about,
he had actually had the league
no,
stats?
No, well, he took all the rankings of where the Patriots are ranked in all the various catalogs categories. I haven't seen a time where, at least for this short period, where the Patriots were so high, I think it was top 7 in almost every category.
Yeah, I looked at it.
Now, usually, they're low in what, even Super Bowl years.
Well, especially early in the year. This is a team that generally gets a lot better defensively as the year goes on.
Right.
And to me, that's scary for opponents because I think they're playing pretty well right now.
And Andy, though, you said that they shouldn't change. Well, you know what? Maybe they ought to change something against the Broncos because they get it handed to them every time they
play
the
Well, that could have been a matchup thing. That defense,
Well, then change something up.
No, I know.
Andy said don't change. I say change because you can't beat that.
But those guys,
you can't just scrap it and say, you know what, we're going 4-3, we're shooting the gaps. That's not what you do. You don't practice that year round.
But if you play the Broncos in the playoffs, you go home.
That's right. As constituted right now, unless they figure something out, which, again, you get back to Brady and Belichick, of course they will.
I don't know. I thought they lost last year because they turned the ball over endless amount of times.
I didn't blame
Well, that was last year.
For anything.
We don't talk about last year, Andy.
That was the playoffs.
This is this year.
That was the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I've seen this team lose to teams in the regular season, then beat them in the playoffs when they
Denver
had to.
Denver made some plays in those games. That's a little bit
They
underrated.
Made some plays, but you know what? You could win that game if you don't turn the ball over as much as you did.
You could, but I'm sure the Patriots got some turnovers when they won their umpteenth
But that's not what
games.
You just said. You just said that they can't beat the Broncos.
They
you
can't.
Said they have
record,
to scrap their
record.
Entire. You said they had to
no,
scrap
I said
their
maybe change
entire defense
a little bit.
You said they had to scrap their defense or don't show
Fred,
up if you have to play
Fred,
the Broncos in the playoffs.
Two games last year, didn't the Broncos blitz like crazy?
Absolutely.
Okay, did they blitz this time when they played?
No.
Okay, so they changed something up.
That's
and
right.
They still
That's
won.
Blitzing.
Okay.
Patriots change things up all the time.
I didn't say
but
they
to scrap
to
your entire
their,
two gap system is not
did
the
I,
right
did
answer.
I say that. I said maybe tweak something a little bit because you can't stop them.
The Patriots change up maybe more than any defense in football.
Well, whatever they're doing against the Broncos ain't working. That's not Tom Casale's opinion.
Okay,
you can
so
tell
they,
that guy who just
yeah, but at the same
it,
time,
they lost last year in the playoffs because of the defense.
I'm not blaming
that's what you're
the
saying. They shouldn't show
the
up. They need to change
year.
The defense.
It was the offense that
they had an offense that couldn't run the ball the length of anything.
Right. So that's why they lost.
Well, they lost.
But it's suddenly Richard Seymour's fault because he's not shooting the gap and making plays in the backfield on Jake Plummer and Tatum Bell.
All right.
They shouldn't even show up in January.
Let's see. We'll see what happens.
Can't beat the Broncos, Andy. It's a proven fact.
Okay.
All right.
Look and at it's Richard Seymour's fault.
Look
I just
at,
forgot.
I didn't say, did I? Did I?
I didn't know he took the responsibility for Brady, you know, screwing up and hitting Champ
no.
Bailey.
Okay. Because I know Belichick's
you know,
record.
You
against
should know by
this
now.
Evolved
that's what
into.
Andy does.
I know his record against this Shanahan, evolved. And so does he. And
so
it's not
so
good.
He should scrap it. I agree.
Well,
play,
this game coming up, which you're going to get into a lot tomorrow and Friday against Miami, he should have a big game. Richard Seymour.
Yeah. He should dominate.
He should dominate this game.
In theory.
Well, he should. Well,
if I go out there and he's being double and triple teamed, then no, he shouldn't have a big game.
Well,
the other guys next to him should
have
a big game.
But then again, if that's the case, then, you know, there's the answer.
Then maybe Ty Warren will make plays,
right.
And maybe Jarvis Green
right.
will be running untouched
exactly.
through Carson Palmer.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
All right.
I just think around here, this is what we do. We like to jump on superstars.
No, I didn't jump
Manny
on
Ramirez
him.
Hits 40 home runs and 140 RBI every year, and people want to run him out of town.
Tom's making a superstar. He made Lawrence Maroney a superstar.
This guy does the good.
Exactly.
The player
you know what?
Actually do something. He doesn't want to.
Exactly what we do.
Superstars.
Early in the career, we build him up only to knock him down. Perfect example, Tom Brady. He goes like 2 weeks with a couple questionable games, and people are calling for backups. They want to know what's wrong with him. They're questioning his body language. The guy won your team 3 Super Bowls early in his career, and you're ready to throw him to the wolves.
Well, I think those fans,
we build him up to knock him down.
Look, those fans, I think there's ugly fans in every city. I think those fans that were calling for Castle or booing him, you know, like this other emailer said earlier, can go kiss my you know what.
Right, and I just think it's funny when someone like Willie Rofe slaps Seymour around like a little you-know-what, and then no one mentions it because, well, it's, you know, he doesn't make any stats. Well, you know what? He got owned. So when he gets owned, say he got owned.
So players don't get owned?
Good
players?
No, I
said they do. It happens every single player in the NFL.
Well, we can say that they did just because they're a great player.
You're making generalizations on a quarter of a season.
I said he had a bad game against Denver. That was what I said.
You've
he
been saying this for a few weeks
against
now.
Denver.
You've been saying this for a couple weeks now.
No, I believe it was last week after the Denver game.
You said it the week before that, too. I remember it in the office. You said, where's Richard Seymour? You're all-pro right defensive end.
No, that was that week. It was the week after Denver.
Okay, maybe.
All right, let's move on.
When you were ripping the team and saying they'll be lucky to go 8-8.
I didn't say they were lucky to go 8-8. I believe what I said was they're exactly where I thought they'd be, and because of the easy schedule, they were still a lock to win the division and roll into the postseason.
You said it, and 9-7 will get them there.
I never said 9-7.
He said it.
Never said 9-7.
No, you said 8-8.
No, shut up. No, I didn't.
8-8. You're not going to Miami, and I'm not talking about the regular season either. Let's see. Steve says, dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom. Paul heard his name. He's probably on his way down now.
No, he's actually in the car.
Yeah. Where's he going?
You know, he works about 4 hours a day.
Where's he going?
EEI.
He's got a big show today?
For a guy who complains as much as him, he's got a pretty good life.
I guess, huh?
Yesterday, the TV show, he just goes home at like 4 in the afternoon.
He's got Monday off. He's got a half day.
We should tell our listeners. You've got to go to BostonSportsMediaWatch.com?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the URL?
I mentioned it yesterday.
Because you got to read this article that John Mallory wrote about Paul Perillo.
Get off your knees, John.
So what we did before Paul, obviously didn't get in until 11 o'clock yesterday.
Got into it at his normal time, mid to late morning.
So we had Michelle Muse, our graphics manager, we made a star, and we pasted a star in his door, and then we pasted the article up. And it's all about how Paul Perillo has peaked, and he's now this media star and all this stuff. I don't think he liked that, though. He was pretty
upset.
He loves
it. He pretends that he doesn't like it, but
he loves
it.
He's got it at home, like, framed somewhere. You know what he does.
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Not too many people like Paul Perillo more than Paul Perillo.
I got to agree with that one.
Oh, man. Getting killed here. All right.
What time is it? Is there a chance he's still listening?
No.
He's been long gone. He's been gone for a half hour now.
Oh, they feed him there, too, so he gets early.
Well, he's been here for 2 hours. What do you want?
It's a long day for him.
Oh, boy.
Had the pizza and left.
Yeah. Okay, how do you see this season panning out for tight end Dave Thomas? He had one play that I noticed in the Bengals game, and that resulted in him dropping the ball in the end zone on an attempted touchdown throw by Tom Brady. There were good reports of him in summer camp, and he looks to have the physical attributes to make him a great tight end, but I'm concerned. And not yet convinced, are we looking at another Christian Fourier or better? Keep up the good work. I'm coming over tomorrow for the game against the Fish on Sunday, and I will have a drink to your good health on the plane.
That's good.
Drop is a little misleading.
Yeah, that was not a drop.
It was thrown behind him. It was thrown too hard. It would have been a very impressive catch if he had made it. And the other thing is, I mean, what do you expect from him right now? He's the third tight end as a rookie. The two guys in front of him, if you want to argue, are underachieving a bit in the offense right now. You expect him to just come in and, what, catch 40 balls in his first 4 games? You know, I think the jury's still out. I think he is what he is, and we saw in camp. He has great hands.
We're very demanding.
He can catch the ball. We'll see.
And we had a couple catches in the Jets game.
And I think he will have his catches when he gets opportunities. I just don't think he's going to get a ton of opportunities with where he is on the depth chart and where this offense is right now.
Unless Watson keeps dropping them.
As far as Christian Fourier goes, Christian Fourier was a pretty good professional.
Yes.
I think Thomas is going to be better than that.
The problem with Fourier is he couldn't run. He's so slow.
Right.
And he had no yards after catch.
Right. And he wasn't, I mean, not a dominating blocker by any degree.
Right.
Was an okay blocker.
But he had
blocker.
Good hands. And he could run a route.
I expect Thomas will have hands like Fourier, catch the ball when it's thrown to him. We'll see what he can do athletically. And I think he'll get better at his blocking because that's one of those things when you can catch the ball as a tight end, you're not asked
Dave
to do
Thomas
it much.
Thomas is going
to
be fine.
Right, and he'll probably get his chance next year if Daniel Graham's not here.
Yeah, and that blocking stuff's a little bit. I mean, they used to say, like, Jay Novacek couldn't block, and I heard Troy Aikman say he only had a block for a split second. He did a fine job at it. You know, they make it sound like they're offensive guards.
Got a
where
pancake
they got to maul
guys.
You for
yeah.
10
yeah.
seconds.
You got to be a distraction more
they
or less.
They can teach that yeah. to a guy like Thomas. Right. He's here to catch balls. They can teach him to get in the way for 2 seconds right. so Maroney can run by.
And I think that's what Fourier did. He was more of a technical
yeah.
blocker. He did
exactly.
his assignment. You knew he was going to do what he's supposed to. He's not killing anybody.
All right. Russell is in the OC in California. You guys watch that show, The OC?
No.
Is it still on? Paul does.
I thought that was your... You like
Paul
those kind of shows.
Paul's the one who watches
I like
those
kind of shows, but I don't like The OC.
I watch shows that are good.
He says, this show's getting better all the time. I was just reading in the Herald that Hobbs broke his scaphoid bone. I thought it was funny in the article. It said they didn't know if he had or will have surgery. You know that info won't be forthcoming. We did find out
surgery
today.
Last
did have
Wednesday.
Surgery.
Had a screw inserted.
Yep.
Heard it from the horse's mouth.
Just remember, it was a young Bill Belichick who, while working in the Kennedy administration, once said on the 22nd of November 1963 that the president was day-to-day with a head confusion of some sort. Very good. I like the two-back running system we have, but unless Dylan would be willing to restructure his contract, they'll probably release him, following which there's a party at Tom's place, I guess. And do you think Corey would be willing to do a restructure? And how has Seau, the showboat, been doing defensively? And has Jackson grasped any of the playbook yet? Outside of that, Tom is the quarterback.
Well, let's clear something up. First of all, I don't really have a problem with Corey Dillon. I had the problem with the fans writing in this season saying he was going to rush for 1,400 yards at age 32 when it's almost impossible to do in the history of the NFL. That was my problem. I don't really hate Corey Dillon. I actually think he's funny, and I think he should talk to the media more because I think he's hilarious every time he does it. So I don't really have a personal problem with him.
Stats.
Plus, he could own him.
Yeah.
John in Palm Bay is on the phone. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's up today in Palm Bay?
Hey. Not much. Hey, I got a couple of fact or fiction questions I'd like to have you guys tone in on.
Okay.
Fact or fiction, Tom Brady will end his career as
fiction,
a New England Patriot.
Fiction. Really? I say fact.
Fiction.
He's already shown that he's willing to, you know, play ball with. So I say fact.
Yeah, but, you know, the part you're missing is where they replace him with a better young quarterback when he's getting older, like they did in San Francisco
right.
with Montana. No. Yeah, at some point you got to make the switch.
I know.
And
yeah.
he's very competitive, so he will be the guy that thinks he still has something left.
Yeah.
He
I'll still contribute. Say fact. I'll still say fact.
Okay.
And then fact or fiction, Josh McDaniels someday will be the Patriots head coach.
That's a good one.
He will be
fiction.
A head coach,
yeah.
but I'm not sure if it's New England. He
right.
will be a head coach somewhere.
I'll say fiction.
I'll say fiction. Too.
Fiction. I'll go fact just to be different. I'm going to say he's going to be the head coach in 4 years.
Are you going to call us back in 10 years, and John, and let us know if we were right or
yeah,
wrong?
Yeah, I'll let you know how okay. you did. Right. And then the last one is Romeo Cannell will join the Patriots in 2 or 3 years.
We'll be back with the Patriots?
Fiction.
That's
yeah.
fiction.
Because he'll either get another head coaching job at the professional level or at the college level. He's too established now.
I'll go fiction.
He's saying he could come back as the head coach with the Patriots.
Oh, as the head coach.
Or any coach, right, John? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, anything. Yep. Any capacity.
I think fiction. I think, you know what I think is going to happen? I think Cleveland is going to turn it around a little bit. People are putting weight. You got to remember the team he took over was absolutely abysmal. He's starting Charlie Fry as his quarterback. What do we want him to be, 4-0?
Right.
Fry showed some signs last week of coming around as a quarterback.
Showed signs of being really
well,
bad.
He made the one terrible pass. He's young.
I know.
But I just think they're going to get to 6 or 7 wins this year, and then next year will be a big season for Cornell where he has to make that leap.
Yeah. He had a lot of injuries, too.
Yeah,
starting before the season even started. All right, John. Okay.
Last one, Lawrence Maury will make the Pro Bowl this year.
Fiction.
Ooh, I'd say fiction just because of the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's coming.
But down the road, no question.
You got to be a full-time
He will be in the running, though, for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, with Marquise Colston. I mean, don't forget Marquise Colston, or you'll get about 75 emails.
Now,
so everyone
what's his
can
stats?
Tell you.
He's a wide receiver. What has he got so far? Like,
well, he's doing well, as is Greg Jennings, but everybody wanted us to know that they knew who Marquise Colston was,
right.
especially Dan Heffernan, who does The Night Before Christmas.
That's right. Dan is usually
right.
good with the top 10 list. All right, John,
John.
And Tom Bay, thank you.
And we're all jealous that you live in Florida and we live up here. Jeff is from Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. He says, in no way am I looking past the Dolphins game this Sunday. How do you think after four games played so far, this team will match up against Indy? Will Brady have a chip on his shoulder after the blowout loss last year?
You all right over there?
What's that, Papagino's Pizza?
Ahiba, haba, hoo, ahiba.
So
they're not losing that game to Indy. What are you, nuts?
Not to look past Miami.
I'll look past them. There's no way they're losing the game to Indy.
At home. You don't think so?
No way. Listen, I'm writing my game story on Thursday. I just need quotes.
Really?
You want me to write it now?
Okay.
I'll write it now.
What do you got? What's going to happen in that Indy game?
There's no shot. They came here. They caught the Patriots at the right time last year. They embarrassed them. You saw the look on Belichick's face. I mean, he wanted to kill somebody. He would hang himself before he loses that game. There's no way.
I just want to say something because I got into a thing with Andy on the show yesterday in the TV show about Brady's body language, and I don't want to belabor that whole thing. You know, it is. Really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. I happen to think that he could have done a better job with how he conducted himself after that Denver game.
I like
but
your boobs.
You just said something that Indy game was an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't act that way against that Indy game.
Mm.
No, not
he didn't
like,
have a press conference.
That's
after
the threw the water bottle. That's the he couldn't have a press conference.
I don't care what he does on the sideline and all that stuff. It's when you're on the field and you know it's third down.
It was just you guys were both. Listen, you guys were arguing that and you were both right. You were saying that, you know, he probably shouldn't show that kind of like, I'm so down on the field. And Andy was saying it's not a big deal. It's more frustration about his receivers. But you're both kind of right.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, but that just reminded me of that.
No way. No way. It's.
The Pickle Man's here.
Pickle.
He says, good show once again. I wanted to get your thoughts on the O-line situation with O'Callaghan winning the starting right tackle job to start the season and Wesley Britt playing well in relief. What will the role of Nick Kazier be? I thought he played well last year as a rookie and was wondering if he is the odd man out after the injury. Does he have a chance to back up Light at left tackle?
Yeah.
I think he's the ultimate swing man if he's healthy.
I don't think he's at full health right now.
No.
I think he's still working his way back, and I think he is probably more talented than Wesley Britt, but I'm always cautious of kind of evaluating talent on the offensive line because
it's hard to do.
We don't really know.
Yeah.
But all I know is Wesley
Britt's only played one game. And
stepped
it was against,
and they rushed for 236.
No, I'm just saying, though, we haven't seen him over a period of time. We've only seen Kazier for a brief period.
Right. I think he's probably more talented. I think when he's healthy, he's probably the swing tackle to back up both spots. You know, he played a lot last year at both spots. So he has the talent to do so to some degree. Although I will say this line has performed better. And I know Maroney has been a big part of that, but this line, even Dylan has been getting, you know, a lot of carries where he doesn't get touched.
I mean,
he's allowed to get five, 6 yards.
There were a couple times where both Maroney and Dylan got touched in the backfield, but nothing like it was last
year. This line has been better, and it should be. Matt Light's back out there. Dan Copen's back out there.
Right.
You have Mankins now a year in the league, and he'll admit it's night and day. He feels so much better now.
Neil, the raw but talented ex-wrestler, gets better with every game, you know?
Right.
When does he stop being raw? Is he no longer raw?
I think he's done being raw.
Okay. Just want to know when we can take that description off his name.
After you play like a full season, 16 games.
No longer raw. But he's always going to be an ex-wrestler. So
that's true.
Okay.
Unless he starts wrestling again, then he'd be a current
wrestler.
Then he's
still a wrestler.
Yeah.
Right. Kevin from New Hampshire, I went to the Denver game and kind of felt like we were being killed by the refs. Two penalties on Denver caused our punt return to be re-kicked, and why the fumble Teddy Bruschi recovered was ruled an incomplete pass. Also, there was an offensive pass interference call that I couldn't really see a replay of. Sorry I'm a week late on this question. I was on vacation last week.
You could have gotten those calls. They still would have lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Every one of those calls, you could have went the Patriots' way. There was no way they were winning that game that night.
I think one group made the difference in that game, and I think it was the linebackers.
Yeah, for Denver.
Denver's linebackers.
They were just so fast.
Tremendous.
Let's see, Vince, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Knowing that the Dolphins' offensive line is absolutely god-awful, do you think Seymour, Wilfork, and Warren will have a great game? Speaking of offensive lines, I laugh at the Cardinals because they have a good quarterback in Kurt Warner, great running back, and two elite receivers, but no line, and they suck. What's your take?
Well, pretty much that.
But it just shows you got to have that line.
Yeah, if you don't have anyone protecting, I mean, it's useless.
But it also shows you we need to give Dante Scarnecchia a credit here because he's not working with all these high draft picks.
No, nope.
He's working with fifth-round picks.
The Cardinals kind of are. They've had a couple of high draft picks.
So I think that's one of those positions where if you get a really good coach who gets five guys
I totally agree
on
with
the
you.
Same page, that can make a huge difference.
I'm going to back up your point here. A couple of years ago, it was LaDainian Tomlinson's second season, I think. Everybody was talking about how bad the San Diego offensive line was and how he wasn't going to get any yards, but they hired Hudson Hauk, who formerly of the Cowboys, who's in that Scarnecchia group.
Yeah, he's one of those revered offensive
line. There's like three
line.
Guys everybody always
like
says. He's
Mike Westhoff in special teams, you know?
So they hired him, and their line just changed overnight.
Right.
And I agree with you. I think that's a position. If you can get a guy who knows how to coach it, you can take those raw players like Fred was talking about and turn them into good players.
You know, I was you were talking about the Cardinals. It reminded me of another thing. You know, on the way home Sunday night, or not this Sunday, but yeah, this Sunday, it was like, I don't know, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I'm going home, and they had a replay from Sirius. They have this show after all the games are over where they take the calls from the home team's radio and they use them as the highlights. And
Anthony Simmons!
It's just, you know.
And ours were all wrong?
No. I just couldn't believe how many of these. You know, we like to talk about Homer radio. I mean, you got to listen to some of these other stations. And not only that, is like we're lucky to have a guy like Gil Santos, who's a real professional. But some of these guys, they're like these young guys who have these high voices.
You know, they don't have the deep voice.
So they make up for it by growling when things are going well. Like, you know, and it's like,
thanks,
you know, and they all sound exactly the same. It's ridiculous.
But I heard, it's probably not the same people, but when the Cardinals play the Steelers in the preseason, I heard their TV announcers.
Yeah.
You'd have thought they won the last 10 Super Bowls. I never heard anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they had no weakness on the team whatsoever.
Yeah.
They were taking that game like seriously.
Yeah.
Like, well, look at the way they're manhandling the Super Bowl champs. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind?
Right.
Holy Toledo.
But I just think that, we'll get into that whole discussion of TV and radio talent, how I think it's been watered down over the years. You know,
I'd rather not get into it.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. But these guys, they have these high voices, and to make up for it, they growl.
You were listening to Russell. First of all, I don't believe your story because you said you heard it on Sirius.
Yeah.
And I know you didn't because it probably kept going out.
Cutting in and out.
Oh, by the way,
stuff.
I got a couple of reviews.
Yeah.
That thing doesn't work.
Really?
They said, all the reviews said it's something that probably in a year or two is going to be great, but they have a lot of bugs they got to fix in it
okay.
right now.
So wait.
So they said wait on it.
Wait on
it. The three reviews I saw, they said the returning. We're talking about the portable Sirius radio for those of you that
they
the
have
stiletto.
The wireless walk around.
It's $350, yeah. But apparently it keeps freezing up and you have to keep rebooting it. They said it's something that it's good when it works, but it stops working. So they have to work some things out with it.
Okay. John in Grand Junction, Colorado. If the two signings who are, I think they are, Jason Babin was a first rounder for Houston. And
No. It's a different.
Okay.
This is an offensive lineman.
On the other hand, Chidi Uwama will step right in on special teams. The only reason why the Steelers got rid of him is they wanted a third quarterback. So when Big Ben gets healthy, I'm sure they would have liked to have
what
him.
What was the reason why
back.
No other team signed him in 4 weeks?
I don't know.
Well, I just like the way that they say he's going to step right in. And the only reason that the Steelers got rid of him, well, the Detroit Lions couldn't use him?
One of the reasons.
I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to be a premier player.
Well, the Lions has Mike Martz now as their offensive coordinator, and we know any team he's on, they don't even pay attention to special teams.
Plus, the guy's 5'7" or something. I mean, he's pretty smallish. I think that might play a role in it as well.
I don't know.
He might help out.
Wasn't he the special teams captain?
No, I think he'll probably play here. I think he'll probably help out on special teams.
Or he could get cut next week when they find someone better.
But the way, I'm sure they sign him. He'll contribute and they'll probably cut Spain now or something.
You know what? When I heard they signed somebody, I was praying it wasn't Charles Rogers because I don't want that bum here. So we have to listen to emailers talk about how he's going to change. Listen, that guy stinks. He's been out of football now for 3 weeks. No one's touched him. So I was so hoping.
Not even the Dolphins, and they'll sign anybody.
Yeah, right.
Phil from Austin.
I think that Sunday's game will be close, just like all the games with the Dolphins. Two things concern me. One, so far this season, Rodney Harrison has yet to play against a team with a good tight end. Rodney reminds me of Roosevelt Coleman in 04, running around out there but not making any plays. I think Rodney versus Michael could be a mismatch.
I agree. Rodney had trouble when he was at his full speed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I said it the other day, kind of jokingly, all the talk around here when Lawyer Malloy left was they started ripping him and saying, you know, he had tackles but nothing else. It was all hyphens in the other categories. That's what Rodney Harrison has right now. He has tackles, I don't know, 28 or somewhere. He's you know, fourth or fifth on the team in tackles, but nothing else. Hasn't made another play.
Two, Chris Chambers is a size-slash-speed matchup problem, just like Javon Walker was.
Yeah, Chambers could have a couple of big plays against them. They really got to watch out for him.
And, okay, here's my lead pipe cinch prediction for this week. Every one of the PFW staff will be picking the Patriots.
Oh, you got that right. Well, I should mention something. I picked 24-13. Andy picked 24-10. Fred picked 33-10. But Paul doesn't believe that the Dolphins are going to score much, so he predicts 28-9.
Proving us all wrong.
Yes.
And then getting defensive about it later.
It was even funnier when I watched it over last night. He goes, well, I really don't think the Dolphins are going to score that much, he goes.
Dave from Cambridge, Mass. I don't know about you, but I'm glad all of this Deion Branch hype has gone away. It wasn't until you brought it up again. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, I'm watching ESPN, and on comes a crawl on the bottom of the screen. Deion Branch to play for Seahawks this Sunday. Are you kidding me? It comes down to this. Branch is a very good receiver who thrived in an excellent system.
Branch,
playing
yeah,
with the best QB in the league. With Seattle, he'll probably settle in to his second or third receiver role. And David Givens on the Titans, third or fourth receiver. Something tells me Doug Gabriel will gradually become a household name playing in this system with Tom Brady. Also, I heard on NFL radio, Ricky Proehl is hosting a radio show and is chomping at the bit to play in the NFL again. Do you think he's worth a look?
No. What did he say?
Well, he said about Branch and Givens.
I didn't get the ESPN scroll thing. I didn't get that part of it. But
he just says that he saw...
Listen, I want to defend David Givens for a second, okay? Because first of all, someone sent us an email saying that's why the Titans lose. The Titans drafted a very young quarterback. Now, they went out and overpaid, we all agree, for a receiver. But at least they went out to try to get weapons and put them around. You know, David Givens is not going to have good numbers right now. He's got Vince Young running the option.
And the other problem is they signed a starting quarterback a week before the season started.
That's not David Givens' fault. Right. I didn't think he was going to have a huge year, and he did.
Well, I didn't think it was a huge year. I thought he'd have a bigger year than Drew Bennett, and he's getting killed in that race.
But this is something I think maybe next year, you know, when Vince Young's a little more comfortable, then you got Givens there, you got Bennett on the other side, a couple of real NFL receivers, maybe you get something going. That whole situation in Tennessee, and Paul and I were talking about this yesterday, I'd like to see Jeff Fisher get fired or resign or whatever, because he's too good for what's going on there right now.
Yeah.
There's some talk now that they both could be out, Fisher and Floyd Reese. Mm. That they're not even talking anymore. They don't communicate.
Yeah, there's something. It's just not right. Whatever's going on there, it's just not happening.
Jim from Indiana says, I think I deserve a little credit here.
No.
I came the closest to predicting the score on Sunday. I sent an email predicting a final score of 34-13, okay? I said the Bengals would win, but still pretty close.
Give you credit, Jim.
I was at the game. I have never seen so many mullets in one place. Got beer thrown on us, and many vulgarities were yelled in our direction.
So he's like the guy who did the stadium thing. Remember, he's the guy who, remember that, Fred, the guy who ranked the stadium, said that the Bengals fans were awful. That's why he ranked them so low.
A couple questions. Patriots cut a couple players after the Bengals game. Any guesses who they might be looking to fill the roster spots? We talked about that. What's up with Jerry Porter? I think we still need help at wide receiver. He's still with the Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone asked, and I'm going to answer this, and when I do ask PFW next week, if would you give a first round pick for Jerry Porter? No.
No, I wouldn't either.
No, you know, and then they say, well, I saw some results where he only makes a million something. He wants more money.
Right.
That's the whole part of this, him not being happy in Oakland. He's not going to come here and play for that kind of money when he won't do it in Oakland.
One more thing for Tom.
Uh-oh.
You talked last Friday about doing some picks against the spread. I will make a deal with you. You send me your lock of the week. If it comes through, I'll send your poor ass a video iPod. If it doesn't, you need to send me a Rodney Harrison signed football. I'll even send you the football.
I don't think
that's a pretty good deal.
That's a good deal. I don't know if I could get it signed, though.
Rodney will sign it for you.
Well, tell him beforehand what the deal is.
So what do I need to do now?
You're going to send him a lock of the week that wins.
Give him a lock.
So basically, this guy is a degenerate gambler who's down $3,000.
Yes.
looking for me to get him out of the hole.
Well, obviously, he's going to be betting more than like $250 because right. One of those video iPods.
Those are nice.
Tell you what,
you'd like those.
I got something in the hopper for you. I'll give you the pick this week. You got to listen tomorrow, Thursday. I give you my lead pipe.
Well, I got to get those things ready, right?
What things?
Well, I can't just go to NFL.com anymore and get the matchups. I got to go to one of those degenerate.
You can't do
sites.
Anything here. You're going to have to do it at home. All those sites are blocked here.
I can get it from the paper.
Oh, yeah, you could get it from the paper.
Yeah.
We should do that. We should establish a place.
Okay, so that's the deal. I got to I'll just tell Harrison that I have like a cousin who's dying of cancer.
No, be honest with him. Be honest with him.
I lost a bet, Rodney. I got to get this signed.
You know.
I'll do it. If I lose, I'll do everything I can to get you the football.
And if not, Paul will ask, and Paul and Rodney are
talking. Yeah, that's true. I get Paul to do it. Yeah, it's a deal. It's on.
All right.
I'll give you a game I guarantee won't lose.
I just don't think you'll ever see the video iPod.
Oh, no.
I sure as hell wouldn't send it if I was him. I'd collect my money.
He's just looking to get out of the hole.
Right.
Kent writes in, I was wondering if you could focus on breaking down some of the Patriots game tape to explain what went right and what went wrong in a game, as well as tape of the team that the Patriots are playing the next game. This could be done by making the show more interactive and posting some of the breakdowns on the website. After all, this is a broadcast over the Internet.
Does this guy know who the coach of the team is?
When are we going to find time to do this?
Well, first of all, we ain't going to get any coaches' game film, so that I can promise you.
Second of all, you can't break anything down off TV.
Third of all, who wants to hear us break it down? We're reporters. We're not coaches. That's something you'd want to hear.
We'd be in, sweatpants on the sideline as coaches.
You want what we got last Christmas. You want Belichick showing you tape and telling you what you're seeing. You don't want Tom, Andy, and Fred sitting here breaking down game film.
I'll get back to you. When the hell are we supposed to do that? We have about 20 jobs we do here.
Ken says, watching the game on TV is very different than seeing the game film, and we as Patriots fans need more information about our team other than comments like, Maroney is going into the Hall of Fame. We need a breakdown of the game to understand how much of his success has been the line and how much...
I'm sorry, Ken, but you're a real idiot.
Right.
Ken, I'm sorry.
We
that
can't
is
fulfill
so
your needs.
Stupid.
Don't listen anymore.
Do you think any team in the NFL is giving their game film to the people who write for their newspaper? That's such a ridiculous thought that I can't believe it ever crossed your mind. Don't ever email it again.
We're growing, audience. We don't need you.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, he thinks we're going to go up to Belichick and say, hey, can we get that game film from the Bengals game? We want to break down Lawrence Maroney.
Plus, I happen to know or, have strong reasons to believe that they would rather have us writing about the other team rather than this team, So the last thing they want is us breaking down game film.
I'm sure if Belichick has a game film of Tennessee versus Houston, he'd be more than happy to give it to us. We'll break that down for you.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia, something that has been on my mind a little in the past few weeks. Thinking back a bit, do you guys remember the days when the Patriots DBs and LBs were sliding around pre-snap, freaking out the opposing quarterbacks? A big deal was made about how hard it was for the opposing team to show who would be covering who, creating all kinds of matchup problems. Seeing that shuffle going on pre-snap and just after it must have been pretty intimidating. Do you think the type of shuffle scheming left with Romeo, or do you think that it's because we had such great personnel in 04 and 05? I have not seen the Cleveland D play this year, so I am not sure if their program looks similar. The matchups these days seem to be much easier to read, and I was wondering if that might contribute to the Pats' apparent vulnerability to downfield passes.
Well, I will say that they did that when he was in New York, too. Like, he did a lot of that shifting and, like, guys at the...
I still think they're doing that.
They still do. I've seen, they had Mike Vrabel lined up at safety. They had Rodney up on the line as a corner, banging at the line of scrimmage. Last week they went to that sub-package for... It seemed like the bulk of the game that was basically a 4-2-5.
Wouldn't you admit when you have... They had the premier corner in football for a couple years. You can do a bit more of that kind of crazy stuff because you can just have him on Harrison.
Right, I think they're getting back to this on the front now, but when they didn't have Brewski, when they had guys like Beisel out there, or even Seau learning the defense, Banta Kane, that's not the same as having you know, Roman Pfeiffer, Teddy Bruschi, Ted Johnson, Mike Vrabel. You had depth there that allowed you to do more because you knew these guys had everything they needed to know and were able to perform it. You know, they got away from that last year because they didn't have any linebackers who could play.
Let me ask you something. Are Beisel and Warfield even on an NFL team?
No, not that I know of.
That's embarrassing.
Beisel didn't get picked up. I know that.
Nope. Warfield, I mean,
I got to tell you, I'm surprised with Beisel because even if you sign him as a special teamer to just run down and make
plays. I'm even more surprised with Warfield because he's a veteran defensive back that can play corner and safety.
I just thought he stunk.
No, I do too. But a lot of people who stink get picked up.
Yeah.
I just thought that maybe, you know, some team would take at least bring him in and take a look at him. That's shocking that neither one of those guys
Freddie
got picked
Mitchell
up.
Got a tryout. Pinkston got a tryout, you know. Tom, in Nottingham, England.
I thought this was at me.
He's the sheriff of Nottingham. You're the sheriff of Foxborough. Hey, guys, loving the show. Got the podcast as often as possible, and you supply me with my main source of Pat's info here in England. I'm a member of the UK Patriots fan club, and a thread has been going around about Randy Moss, and I must admit, it's not the first time I've heard this. Obviously, he would ask for the type of money the organization doesn't hand out to just anybody, but could this rumor have any strength in it?
Nope.
Keep up the good work, and for the record, Lori is by far the best person on the show. No offense to Paul, Tom, Andy, and Fred.
You do join Dick for a little while.
She's not even on the show.
And she's not good.
Nicest. She's the nicest.
Oh, okay, she's definitely the nicest and the best looking.
But I don't know about that.
The whole thing about Moss, and I think my opinion has changed since I was in the Cincinnati locker room, but the Eagles ran things a certain way for years, and they were successful. Now, I know people are going to say T.O. got them to the Super Bowl, and blah, 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 but you saw what happened when they brought T.O. in. Yes, he did a good thing. They went to the Super Bowl, but you saw what happened the next year. Now look what they're doing without T.O. again, when they went back to their old philosophy. Okay, the Patriots have a philosophy. I'm afraid if you bring in Moss, you get the short-term success. But what does it do for you in the long term when they start spreading the ball around and then he starts getting... Because you can't control guys like that. You think Belichick can control anybody. You can't control Randy Moss. You can't do it.
No.
Like you said, he does not want to be told what to do.
No.
So I think if you brought him in, you might win the Super Bowl this year. But you have to be willing to sacrifice possibly a year or two, you know, down the road when he blows up your team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what he's doing now, I mean, the Raiders are a mess. Al Davis should really just step aside. The team's not going to get better until he does.
Or something else,
you know,
happens to him.
Art Schell, I mean, I guess he had a pretty good winning percentage in his first go-around with Oakland, but, I mean, he's been removed.
Bo Jackson was his running back, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a while. So I don't know what's going on there.
The offensive coordinator hasn't coached in 30 years.
And I can understand any player being upset. But what he's doing, you know, Randy Moss, it's just not right. It's
not right.
Forget how you feel about your owner and your coach, if that's how you feel. What about your teammates?
Right.
What
about yourself and not embarrassing yourself?
Yeah.
Even if you're selfish, why not just, you know, play for yourself and make not sulk?
I mean, look, you don't need to go around publicizing to other teams that you be willing to be traded.
Right.
They know. You know, it's like the whole argument about, well, if you don't let your assistant coaches talk, they don't get – if you're a good general manager, you know that Romeo Crennel was the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. You don't need for him to be in the Globe with quotes.
Right.
You know, so that's ridiculous.
And you know what? We all want Randy Moss on our team. We all would love to see Brady throwing the ball up to Moss because he's an exciting, phenomenal football player. But what you have to ask yourself is, are you ready to take on that baggage?
Yeah.
Because for every Corey Dillon, there's 10 that go the other way.
Right.
You got lucky with Corey Dillon, you know, and they do a lot of background check. Like I said, I think he got a little bit of a bad rap in Cincinnati. They probably thought the same thing. But you know what? Moss hasn't gotten a bad rap, and neither has T.O.
Right. All right, let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
How about having it signed by perennial pro bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free three championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details. It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale. Oh, come on.
What? I turned my mic off.
Yeah, but you can still hear that. Andy, float some of those names around for the listeners.
What names?
Like kid names that you were floating around.
Yeah, talk in the microphone.
What kid names?
Dan Klecko.
Impossible kid names.
What are you talking about? Dan Klecko get picked up?
Didn't he go to the Colts?
Did he? Klecko?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he
still on the roster?
I think so.
Is he relevant? No.
No, your wife had mentioned some kid names that she liked.
Which ones?
I don't know. You had a few.
Luke?
Luke seems to be the popular.
I like it so I can say Luke.
Yeah.
I am your father.
Oh, you're thinking about what you're going to name your kid?
Well, I'm not really. My wife is.
You know if it's a boy or a girl yet? No?
You gotta.
Just don't name him something or her.
Yeah,
just realize that they're going to be an adult someday.
Yes, yeah, and Apple won't be a good name for an adult.
Some of these parents think their kids are going to be 4 years old for the rest of their lives.
My wife is a little too outside of the box for my liking.
Right. It's like, the girls.
She won't even consider, like, Tom, Fred, Andy, normal names.
You don't get named
that. It's got to be, like,
no one's been
different.
Named Fred for 10 years.
Since Fred Flintstone. Right.
Yeah, I don't really like that one.
Luke's not bad, but you don't want to get too, you know.
No, she's brought
crazy.
Up Luke, Owen.
But you can't be Owen for
Dead Wrestler. You can't name it after
Owen
Dead
Hart.
Wrestler.
But you always got to try to picture him, like, in the backfield, like, playing
well,
for the University of Miami.
She's vetoed Bo Hart.
I liked Rock Hart.
Rock Hart.
Rock Hart.
Now, would that be a
Rock
C Casale. Or a CK?
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm gonna name my kid Rock.
I went with kind of like the players do. I brought up Andino, which is Little Andy.
I think Rock would be good for my kid because he's either gonna play pro football or be in prison. So either way, Rock works.
But I've thought of that. Maximus. I told her.
Maximus.
We'll call him Max all the time, except like on important occasions.
That's my dog's name. It's great.
I like it. And then when he gets married, he'll be like Maximus something Hart.
Right. That's a good name. You should go with that.
Dick.
I'm not naming him Dick Hart. I can't. No, I would never. Richard, Dick, those are all out.
That's all right. Mine, be a man.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Right, Webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number is 508.
Mark goes out, too.
543-7482. And
Gary's just going through all the buttons he has that are names.
Of course, at 2 o'clock.
You know who I am?
Baxter.
Of course, at 2 o'clock, John Rook takes over with Patriots Playbook. Anything going on in John Rook's show today, Gary, we should know about?
No.
No. Okay.
Not even Bilo filling out the second hour?
That was yesterday.
Oh. Bilo comes in on Tuesdays.
And puts people to sleep.
Oh. Why are you down on Bilo?
He was only on for an hour. Where they would just discuss one thing.
I got to tell you, Bilo and Paul Perillo, you put them together, they can talk nonstop for 2 days.
Those podcasts, man, he...
Never have two people like the sound of their own voice more than those two.
Well, the thing about Bilo is that, you know, maybe he'll talk a lot, maybe he won't. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying I will talk a lot. I mean, I might talk a lot.
Should you hear him on... Do you listen to our podcast, Roster Reports?
No.
Because what Bilo does, say there's a roster move, Hank Poteet. What
right.
Bilo does is tells you every single thing you could possibly know or say about Hank Poteet and then goes, Tom, what do you think? And Tom, you know, you just stare at him like, well, Bilo, you just covered everything because you didn't stop talking for 10 minutes. What do you want us to say?
Wow.
He doesn't really know the role of host that's supposed
that
to just kind of toss
Paul gets mad because he can't talk.
Right, and then Paul, you can see over there getting uncomfortable because he's going to blow up if he doesn't talk. It's unbelievable, those two. Diarrhea of the mouth.
Well, Paul will be on EEI in about 15 minutes.
Yep.
So now he's getting his makeup, even though it's a radio show. By the way, though, we didn't get makeup.
We didn't get makeup. No, I noticed
that's
that.
That's something we should insist on.
Yeah. You know, especially for the viewers.
Before our viewers start insisting
right.
on it.
They do their own makeup there.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they don't have a makeup person.
You're kidding me.
Well, when I used
they
to
They did have
there.
The little... accent speaking guy with the microphone that came on.
Yeah.
You know.
I liked him. He's the kind of guy you think of as like a sound guy and he fixed the background. He was like that French guy or something.
Right, right.
Artistic and all like foofy.
Right. But they didn't do makeup.
Did anybody watch the show?
Well, I did.
No, I mean,
I know at least two other people who did. Foofy Fancy! No. You know, one who said that it's only a matter of time before somebody slaps Andy silly. So,
I just don't get why people get so mad.
Because you come off arrogant.
Why?
Because you do. You're I don't know why. Arrogant. It's the way you are.
What did I do, though?
You said,
Dana, I don't want to be negative here, but yes, you're wrong.
But she said the offense is great. They're not great yet.
But there's a way to say it without
but she said, am I wrong?
I'm never
and
happy.
Then you focused on the part.
She asked a question. I answered it. Yes, you're wrong.
I mean, I thought it was funny.
We understand.
I'm a bit like
why
you.
Do people take themselves so seriously?
They do. They take themselves way too seriously.
It's sports. It's fun. We're sitting around. We're
right.
talking football.
I agree with you. Like, even like when I just yelled at that emailer, I don't know him.
Right.
It's a joke.
And we don't really
you know?
Want him to stop listening. Keep
like,
listening. We like you.
The best part was the guy who said that he's been thinking about what Andy said about the Denver game for like a year now, and he can't get over it. Like, oh my. And then somebody.
Just see him tossing and turning. And
somebody emailed us in
Hart.
And said, I want to ask you a question about Tom Brady. I mean, I love Tom Brady. I even named my son Brady. Well, we call that child abuse where I'm from, and you should be put in jail. I mean, seriously now, you named your son Brady after Tom Brady. That's not being a fan. It's being an idiot.
Oh, so that means I'm an idiot, too, then, because I wanted to name my son Bo after Bo Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Not, no Bo.
Why?
Bo. You know, let's just say he doesn't play sports for a living and has to go out and get a real job. Hi, my name's Bo. I'm a real good pupil person.
What's wrong with Bo?
It's just not an adult name, you know?
Man, they knew Bo was going to be Bo the day he came
right.
he came out.
Right. And I don't think
that's not even
name.
His real name.
No.
Vincent Edward Jackson.
Exactly. So
Bo, it's shortened from boar because he acted like a boar hog or something.
Well,
when he was young.
Fine. If your son ends up being Bo Jackson,
right? If he
gets
a nickname, he gets a nickname. You know,
Okay.
What was your nickname in high school besides A-hole?
It wasn't A-hole.
No?
Dandy. Well, A-H.
A-H? A-H? Did you have a nickname, Tom?
I have a nickname.
Let's go.
What
spill it.
Let's hear it.
I'm not going to tell you.
Come
it.
On.
Spill
he
it.
Knows what it is.
Cowboy.
No, he knows what it is. Douchebag. You've called me it before.
Douchebag. Well, that, yeah.
You've called me it before in the office, remember? And I said, you know too much about me. I don't like where this is going.
Does it have something to do with the Cowboys?
No, it has something to do with gambling.
Oh, okay. Parlay.
Starts with a T. You've called me the name before. Tout.
Tout.
Oh, yeah. Tout Casale.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, Fred, we heard you. We can handle it while you go to the bathroom.
Although these things come up real quick with him. Did you ever notice?
Yeah, he's like, a, do you have a prostate problem,
running.
Fred? Have you had a prostate checked lately?
He's running.
Gary, don't you have a sound effect?
Your seatbelts? What the hell are we going to do? None of us are by the computer.
I don't know, but we'll just talk. I wanted to talk about the game anyway.
Jeez, I got to take a leak so bad I can taste it.
Well, we got 2 minutes left. Let's break it down.
That's true. We're bringing up the game late. But, you know, everybody wants to gloss over it and say that this game is just based on basically emotion, right? Well, how about talent? Because, to me, the only thing holding the Dolphins back is that offensive line Culpepper angle where he's pressured. He can't get out of his own way. But I look at the skill positions and I say, there's some matchups that I think could go the Dolphins' way.
Right, and their defense has played pretty well this year. They're seventh in the NFL in defense. They bottled up Willie Parker pretty well in that first game. I'm not sure what happened last week because we really didn't get to see much of what happened. That is, let's put it this way: when you're looking, you were 0-2, right? And you're looking at Tennessee at home and Houston on the road. You barely beat Tennessee, and then you went and got beat at Houston. Those are bad losses.
Right.
Those
if anything, really that was a chance losses. For you to build some momentum, get to 500, then you're taking on the Patriots. Maybe I'm playing for a division, whatever, and you haven't been able to do that. But just looking at it, you know, I know it's a great story. Oh, Troy Brown played last week. Hank Poteet played last week. Chad Scott played last week. They shut down the Bengals. Well, there's also some matchup problems this week. Maybe you got a little lucky last week. Maybe Nick Saban's a better coach. Maybe they make some adjustments and don't go, oh, my God, there's two safeties deep. What are we going
to
do?
And I should mention to you, Andy, that when I talked to Grogan today, he said the same thing we all did, thoroughly outcoached.
Yeah, no question.
Marvin Lewis was just totally outcoached in that game.
Nick Saban is a pretty good coach. Obviously, Bill Belichick loves him to death.
Right, and they're going to have their backs. So this is it.
This
you
is
go
it.
1-4, you're done.
Right.
You can say all you want about how we won six, blah, blah. Blah, blah, last year. You're 1-4 in the Patriots division. Go to bed. It's all over.
Right. But, you know, Ronnie Brown, maybe he gets it going. I don't expect it to happen because I think that's one matchup that really favors the Patriots is front versus front. I think they win that every week.
The two guys that bother me the most would be Chambers and McMichael because they have had big games. And the other guy, which is interesting, because I looked at his game log from last year because I thought about picking him up in fantasy, Marty Booker killed the Patriots in both games. He had Ellis Hobbs on him, which probably won't happen this week. But he really abused Hobbs in both those games. So like you said, at the skill position.
Well, each of those guys has had a big game against Patriots. Chambers, McMichael, and Booker at different times over the last few years have had really big games. And the other guy, Ronnie Brown. You know, I know he hasn't been off to a great start this year. Part of that's the offensive line. What if they get him involved a little more in the passing game? He's a great receiver out of the backfield. You know, if he's coming across, he's a guy that can turn a little five-yard gain into a big play. We've seen this team has some problems with big plays, with tackling.
And, you know, I'm a little worried about the only thing that bothers me about the Patriots, and we won't know this for 3 or 4 weeks, is are they one of those inconsistent teams? Because I would say I would chalk up the Jets game to a pretty well-played game. Things happen late there, but, you know, they played terrible against Buffalo. They played pretty good against the Jets. They played awful against the Broncos. They played phenomenal against the Bengals. Are we going to have one of these every other week type deals here? Or, you know, are they just going to assert themselves from here and say, we're the best team in the AFC?
Right. I think that can go two ways. You can say, well, they've been inconsistent, and maybe they continue that. Maybe they struggle this week against Miami. Or you can say, well, they've been a little inconsistent, but it's the early part of the year, and it's better to be 3-1, and they're just building. They're getting better each week. And now, I'd like to get, and I don't think you can get an honest answer from Bill in a press conference, I'd like to know if he thinks his team has gotten incrementally better each week. Obviously, they probably played their best game last week against Cincinnati, but have they been consistently building, getting better, doing certain things, the little things, better each week, so where he says, you know what, we're 3-1, and we're building. This is a good sign for weeks 9, 10, 12, 15, as we move along. You know, this will be a big week for that,
right,
because the Dolphins are going to come to play. They're going to be emotional. Nick Saban's going to have them going. This is, as we said, kind of their season. If they lose this, it's going to be tough to crawl out of that hole.
Yeah.
Especially in the division. You know, if they were maybe in a different division, but in this division, you're not going to crawl out against the Patriots if you struggle early.
And like you mentioned upstairs, one thing that could really hurt the Patriots in this game, say they get up 10-0 and they make the switch. Here comes Harrington. Now, none of us think that highly of Harrington, but guys who come in off the bench who don't start the game don't have pressure on them like they do if they get to start the next week. So you could catch lightning in a bottle. All of a sudden, he's throwing balls all over the place to receivers.
And even beyond that, guys that Belichick hasn't game planned for and seen before, doesn't have their strengths and weaknesses from experience, sometimes the Patriots struggle in those matchups where the first time around a guy can have some success from against them.
Right.
So that would be my fear. I think if you see Joey Harrington, there's a chance that actually helps the Dolphins rather than
hurt
them.
Oh, I agree with you.
In theory.
Josh,
Brett, you're back. How'd it go?
Things are good.
Good, good.
What about, Josh wants to know, what about naming your dog Brady? Is that okay?
That's fine.
That's fine.
That is fine.
Okay.
I was going to name, never mind. Next.
Drew, T.O.?
No.
Something to do with some wrestler?
Emmett.
Emmett?
Emmett.
Emmett's a good name
like
for a clown or a dog.
He's my favorite player ever. I was going to name
clown?
Him.
Clown?
Yeah, Emmett the Clown.
But I would name my son Emmett. See, that's my
about
point.
Emmett Smith?
You know what I mean?
Is he a clown?
Yeah, but he's
is he there to make you laugh?
John's here.
Elmo. How about
John
Elmo? Elmo would be a good name for a dog.
Elmo. That's Elmo. A good dog name. Tickle we were talking me? About these parents who think that their kids are going to be 4 year old for the rest of their lives,
right,
and they name them these stupid
names. Brady.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, that was one of the
I've
examples.
Heard that one. I've heard that one.
One of our
several.
Listeners, I think, did that.
You know, your
name
kid's going to be
Brady?
An adult
yeah.
someday. Just keep that in mind before you, you know, burden them.
Fred,
with
that makes way too
names.
Much. That makes way too much sense.
But how you doing, John?
I'm excellent. And you?
I'm doing great.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
So is there an acceptable first name, you know, from, you know, if you're going to name your child
just don't get
after a football player on this team, is there acceptable?
No, just don't do it. Don't name your child after a football player.
Well,
name
you
him
can,
after family members if
right.
you want to do something
or
like
if you
that.
Like a name, but don't necessarily name him just after.
Name him after Pat Patriot, just Pat.
There you go.
What's wrong with that?
See, like, I like the name Colt. Colt McCoy. You're
Colt?
You
I like
know,
that name,
I like
too.
That
you know,
name.
I've actually been trying to find out how he got named that. I don't know the story behind
but now
it.
If it's because their family liked the Colts, then I think
stupid.
It's stupid.
I agree.
But
yeah.
I like the name.
I don't know where
Colt
it
came from.
For a human being,
Colt Casale.
Colt.
I like that name.
Colt Casale.
You ain't, no one's messing with you if your name's Colt Casale.
Right.
If you're in the, if you're in the brink and
you
your
got a little,
Colt.
Let's see, you got a little redneck in you and a little Italian in you. That's a lethal
good
combination.
Combo.
Good combination.
Yeah.
So what's on your agenda today, John? What do you want to talk about?
Fred, I'd like to talk about the sport of football.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe the team.
So we're going to keep it open today.
Well, you know, it's kind of like yesterday in going through you know some of the recap from the Cincinnati game. It's kind of like, what is there to complain about? What is there to point on? I mean, can the team always improve? Sure. Are there areas of on this football team that, you know, obviously still need some work? Sure there are. I mean, the secondary, I think, is still a little bit of a concern, although I know they did pick up somebody today. Awomu, is that
yeah,
a pronounce his name?
Really
yeah, he's more of a special teamer.
Special teams guy, right?
He's little.
Okay. So, you know, in this regard, I mean, can you always make improvements? Yes. But I think now it's kind of like, all right, well, we've seen one end of the spectrum. We certainly saw, I think, pretty as close to the opposite end of the spectrum as you can get with the performance against Cincinnati. So what's the real Patriot football team going to be like?
Then that there's your concern. Are they an inconsistent team, or are they just building to
right.
be a great team?
Right.
That's what we'll find out in the next couple
of
weeks.
You know, John, I thought it was interesting. Mike Reese had his little blog, and he took the rankings in the various categories.
Right.
And for the first time that I can remember in a while, even during the Super Bowl years, in all the rankings, the Patriots were like in the top seven.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, whether it's running the ball or you know, passed or something,
they were
red
always
zone, over, there was something that yeah. was
right.
kind of
you know
down
what's really
there.
Shocking is there, despite the struggles with the passing offense, they're number one in total offense.
Right.
That's a shocker to me because the you know the passing game hasn't gotten going yet.
You know what part of that
waiting.
Is? Those cheap Broncos,
yeah,
350
right.
yards.
But I was just surprised to see them as
number one in total
Cincinnati's
offense.
Number 19. in total offense? Offense. Can you believe that?
That's a little surprising.
It shows you that sometimes stats
can
be deceptive. All right, well, that's going to do it for our show, PFW in Progress. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Remember, the second hour, we're going around the NFL with our picks.
My lead pipe cinch for whoever needs it to get out of the hole.
Tom's
got
a video iPod writing on a pick tomorrow. And now we'll give way to John Rook with Patriots Playbook. See you tomorrow.